Wealth Management Studios. This is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Happy Saturday. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. You're listening to iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. Gregory Ricks is not out on assignment. He's at the best concert festival of the year. Actually, he's at the best concert festival of every year, our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival. It's going on in Vegas. Fantastic time. I'm wildly jealous. I got a text about 11 last night, maybe 11:30-ish. It was right before I'm about to go to bed. This punk. I'm watching crummy Netflix. Coldplay just crushed it. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah. I'm over here on my couch watching Jerry Seinfeld's stand-up special on Netflix with a generic soda. So my evening was a little less eventful / awesome than Gregory's. So yeah, if you hear a little hint of petty jealousy, there's more than a hint there. There's a lot of that going on right now. I'm a scorned lover here, you know? You left me? You're just going to leave me like that all alone and go to this awesome party without me? I know. I know it sounds very childish. I feel very childish, but it's the truth. So what do you want me to do? You want me to lie to your face? I can't do that. So it continues tonight. Check out the iHeartRadio app. They're playing it all over that place if you want to watch it. And it's going to be rebroadcast. I think, are they going to do the two networks like they did the last couple of years, where it's going to be on True TV and what's the other one?
CW.
The CW. So I know that's NOLA 38 here in New Orleans. I don't know what the CW affiliate is in the Biloxi area because I haven't watched a whole lot of CW while I'm hanging out with my coasty friends. But listen, the next big event coming up after that is October 3rd. It's a Gregory Ricks live event. It's almost as big. Almost. DJ Khaled's not going to be there, but the Total Wealth Authority will be there. Coldplay's not going to be there, but I'll be there. No Miley Cyrus. We will have the ladies from Dwell Nola will be there. Wes Blanchard, he is the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority. Jude Heath, the guy who runs a CPA firm that's a part of the Total Wealth Authority, will be there. Dwayne Stein, host of Mortgage Gumbo, who comes on after us on our New Orleans affiliate. He's going to be there, and you're like, what's the Total Wealth Authority? This is the Justice League of finance that we have assembled that can take care of any aspect of your financial well-being. You know, it'd be like, what if you went to Lowe's? What if you went to Lowe's or maybe Home Depot or Ace Hardware, and they only had plumbing supplies, but you had to go somewhere else to get the lumber, and then you had to go somewhere else to get cabinets and things like that? Doesn't it make sense to just have it all basically under one roof? All right, well, we're not all in the same office complex, but we're all on the same team. And the whole point is we were sending people to, you know, an accountant of their choosing. And sometimes that accountant wasn't up to snuff, or sometimes that accountant disagreed with the financial philosophical backing behind Gregory Ricks's financial plans. And so there would be a clash, or you'd have an estate planning attorney who'd be like, well, I don't know if we could use a trust there. Gregory's like, we've seen it 1,000 times. We got sick of arguing with people because we're always right. And so we found a bunch of people who are on the same page. Listen, you don't want to get a run-and-shoot quarterback if you're going to be hauling out the wishbone half your plays, if you're going to be doing a run offense. So you want to get them all on the same page. And conversely, I'm sure there's people out there who love taking risk and getting into illiquid investments because they're chasing return, and they need to have their own little team that loves doing all that risky stuff, and they don't mind losing a few bucks or being illiquid, or, hey, let's check out this read, or I saw this commercial on TV. Let's throw our money into piles of physical gold. We're all on the same team on this one. And it's not like we went out and we grabbed Jude Heath and we bent him to our will. It took us a few accountants before we settled on Jude Heath. And you know why? Because accountants are weird. What kind of personality wants to go through a general ledger? What kind of human brain function does it take to say, ooh, I'd love to do that audit. Give me that spreadsheet. I'm going to go through this line by line. That would drive me insane. So, I'm sort of the type B personality. I have piles on my desk and not files in a cabinet. Well, Jude's the opposite, and you need someone like that. You need someone who says, did you hear me say this? I think it was last week when he was on the show. We were out at NOLA Motorsports. He asked me, and I gave him, this still feels weird. He has access to my bank account. Now, he can't spend money or transfer it, but I gave him a login. And look, your bank probably has a setup just for this. Create a separate login so someone else can come in and check out your information. And Jude is now going through my bank account. I don't know if he's done it already, but I gave him the login to do it. He's going to go through my spending, my inflow and outflow line by line. He's going to compile them all into categories and do all the math for me and see what my inflow is and my outflow is. If there's any behavior changes I can do either, you know, in my purchasing and spending habits or the way my business is structured to try and find more tax breaks. That's that you have to be a right brain person to do that. You have to be a type A personality to make that your life's charge. And thank God not everyone in the world is like me, because it's we'd be a herd of cats. We wouldn't get anything done. So I didn't join the military. I'd be a horrible soldier. I'd be like, Parker, go take that hill. I don't know, man. They're shooting at me up there. There's a lot of people with guns up there. I just how about I'm over here and I just be your inspiration. I'll talk you through it. You go do it, guys. See, that's what I do. I just run my mouth. Not very useful almost anywhere else except for in the media or if I was a politician. Because we don't do anything. We just run our mouth. I have one of the least important jobs. Have you ever heard my this is the metaphor on you know if you have a useful job or not, or if you have a job where you actually do something. If God came down and told the Neo Noah, some Noah in 2017, hey, I'm going to flood the whole world. I need you to make a big old boat. You don't have to use wood this time. I know we're past that. But I need you to make a big ark, and I need you to take all the important people from society. We need doctors. We're going to need teachers. We're going to need, definitely farmers and definitely ranchers, you know, people who provide food. Talk show hosts are not going to make it on the ark. Politicians are not going to make it on the ark. Angie, you're not going to make it on the ark over there. Producer Angie, no, there's no need for someone who can push 96 buttons. What?
I know sign language, so there you go. It's something that would help. I'd get on.
That's not going to cut it. I don't think it's going to cut it. See, you have to be a little more useful than the ability to talk to other productive people who happen to be deaf. I'm sure there's a farmer out there that can do sign language, or someone who knows how to, you know, wire a house, you know, an electrician or plumber or something. We're not making it. All right. Well, the Total Wealth Authority will all be on the ark, just not me. I think technically I'm not part of the Total Wealth Authority because I have no real financial expertise, but I can pass along the information from those guys for you. Listen, something else that's happening at the event is we're laying out sort of our philosophy. We're definitely not going to talk about any products. We're not going to try and sell you anything. No one's going to be offered a timeshare or anything goofy like that. But there's two things that we focus on when explaining our philosophy, and that's sort of, like I said earlier, the ins and the outs. So that would be how to invest, where to invest, your investing philosophy, the rules of investing, how to navigate the tax minefield while investing. And then the other half of the philosophy that we want you to gather is how do we extract money from our investments in retirement? So that would be the income side. That would be the outflow side. So it's the same thing. What's your income philosophy? You say, I don't have an income philosophy. Well, that's a problem, dude. You need kind of a playbook. You know, Saints are playing the Panthers this weekend. I think they already got their playbook laid out. Why don't you have yours? They're probably going to lose anyway. I'm kidding. I love the Saints. I like setting the bar low, so if they win, I'm excited. And if they lose, I'm not disappointed. I kind of expected that. Cam Newton's a good, great quarterback there. But, you know, you need to know the rules for generating income. You need to know how income is generated. You need to know how to take it out so that big pile of money won't run out before you die. There is such thing as income for life from your investments. So it's all that. It's the rules. It's the philosophy. And it's for both sides of it. For how to vest, you know, like investing. Vest is just the verb where you put your money in the vehicle that you'd planned. For how to vest and how to withdraw. For investing and for income. So that's basically what we're covering. And here's the deal. We know we're not right for everyone. We may not be right for you, but you don't know unless you go out there. And We don't even, it doesn't hurt our feelings one bit if someone sees our presentation and goes through the question and answer session, even eats the food, and they're like, nah, I don't think you're a good fit. And I'm like, well, I'm glad we found out now, rather than having two or three or four meetings and you gathering all this paperwork and bringing it to us, and we're spending all this time because we got a staff of people that are doing research and crunching numbers for you to find out in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks, or in a month that we're not a good fit. We want to find out now. It saves us time and money, and it saves you time and money. And it's just a date, really. It's a financial first date. So that's what's going on October 3rd. That's just in a couple Tuesdays. Not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. You know you need some help. Start with us. If we don't work out, go find someone and find the right person for you. Find an actual fiduciary. Don't get a broker who's pretending to be a financial planner. If you don't know the difference, we'll explain that on October 3rd as well. Hey, our guest coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, Wes Blanchard, member of the Total Wealth Authority, speaking of our live event. We're going to cover a few things that he's bringing to the table, but I wanted to ask him, and we'll cover this, about filial law. Filial, do you know that word? F-I-L-I-A-L. Angie, you remember the filial law shows that we did 2, 4, 6 years ago? We hadn't done it in a while.
I remember the word. I just don't remember what it means.
Hey, that's a start. Look, we'll make a junior advisor out of you. Filial law is where in some states, as odd as this sounds, the state can go after your kids for your health care bills. Yeah, if you're indigent and you're living off Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, but you're indigent and you have no money, and then the state finds out, well, your kid's a millionaire. Why can't he hook you up? Well, you know, maybe I should say this. Maybe I should say this from the second person view. The state can come after me for my parents' income bill. The state can come after you for your parents' income bill. Let's not make you the bad person. Let's make your parents the bad person. How about that? That's a real thing. We have filial laws in Louisiana and Mississippi. We're not the worst one. There's some states that'll come and they'll get the money from you. If you have a ton, they'll just take it from you. There's some states that if you don't help out with your parents' medical bills and they become too much of a burden on the state, then they'll fine you. It'll be a civil matter. There's a handful of states where it's a criminal matter. They can arrest you and charge you with a crime. Filial law. It's little known. It doesn't happen much. It's very rarely used, but I think you need to know about it, especially if you've got money and your parents don't. They may come get you for it. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. The number one thing retirees worry about is running out of money. Money can be the most stressful part of your life, but it doesn't have to be. James Parker here. Gregory Ricks has been helping people just like you with their money problems for decades. And it starts with Gregory Ricks Live, Tuesday, October 3rd, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or call 504-832-9200.
I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. Gregory Ricks here. I'm a preferred access member. I get to take my own car to the track. Yeah, it might be a fast one, but it gets to go there. Talk about going to another world and escape. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
And we've been talking about this for a while. This is like the banking industry is going to become the Walking Dead, or maybe already. Actually, it's millennials that's going to bring them to their knees. Look, when I was younger, I went in banks all the time. I'm trying to think, when have I last been in a bank? But you think about millennials or younger. Millennials are now turning 30. Have they ever been in banks? You know, maybe one of the tests is to go into a bank and see if anybody else is there besides the people behind the counter. you think about, millennials are not going to connect with the bank, so that means everybody behind them isn't either. The boomers is the last cattle call for them.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Our sold-out 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival, hosted by Ryan Seacrest. Two nights, one stage. This weekend at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas.
Watch it live on CWTV.com or the CW app at 9 p.m. tonight. And for the first time ever, watch our daytime village starting at 1 p.m. today.
Capital One is the proud marquee partner of the iHeartRadio Music Festival. For more information on Capital One products and services, please visit CapitalOne.com today.
This weekend, our sold-out iHeartRadio Music Festival featuring over 20 of the world's biggest artists is coming to T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Big Sean will play his second show of the day on Saturday after helping to fight poverty at the Global Citizen Festival, 2,000 miles away in Central Park, New York City. Find out how you can help fight poverty at GlobalCitizen.org. Experience our festival live on CWTV.com or the CW app, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific tonight. And for the first time ever, watch our daytime village, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific today.
We keep an eye on your money and update you daily. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, welcome to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Happy Saturday. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Flying solo because Gregory Ricks is partying up at the iHeartRadio Music Festival, our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival, the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. He had his mind blown last night. He's looking forward to having it blown again tonight. It's a tough life you got there, Gregory. No, don't worry. I'll do the show. No, you go have fun. I'll take care of this. How about that? No, you're having fun? That's great. That's fine. What do you mean the Sharks? Sorry, I'm talking to someone on Facebook Live. We're also on Periscope. If you want to watch us, the Facebook Live feed is under the Winning It Live page. Why aren't you liking us already? Go to Facebook. Type in Winning It Live. We pop up. On Periscope, it is at Gregory Ricks. Same as our Twitter handle, at Gregory Ricks. One thing that we like to do once a year when Gregory goes out of town, we're like, once a year? When he goes out of town, it's September. Yeah, it's the first time he's taken a vacation this year. He didn't take a vacation all summer. He didn't take a vacation in the spring. If you heard some best ofs is what we call them when we do the reruns. We call them best of, even though sometimes they're just average shows. It's not really the best. Now, he had to go to conventions. That's still work. You know, I'm telling you, this dude works. I mean, I do too. But did you go since, I guess it would be New Year's, until almost October without a vacation? You know, it's not so easy. It's not so easy, you know, being successful, I suppose. So a lot of times it's great to stop, go back, and find out where this success came from. What's the story behind what drives Gregory Ricks, and why is he so interested in financial issues, and why does he take it personal? And why does he find himself getting so emotionally invested in these financial issues where other people, myself included, be like, wow, sounds like a bad problem. Good luck with that. So what drives him? Well, a lot of this is born in his background and is explained in the origin story.
One of the things I tell the story of, James, is what happened to my mom. And that's kind of part of the fabric of my life. And that's, I call it the origin. And it's kind of like an example of that, you know, who Batman is, right? Mm-hmm. He's just this vigilante that dresses up in a suit and goes out at night and bothers people without, you know, a trial or anything. He exacts his punishment. Is that really who Batman is? That's who Batman is if you do not know his origin story. And his origin story is when he was a kid, his parents were killed by the mob, and it was vicious, and it affected his life, and he had to grow up as a rich kid without parents. And then he became this hero to, you know what, we want to make sure these criminals don't get away and take advantage of the system, and he's going to make everything right and do good and help people. So a little bit of my origin story is my mom came into a good bit of money as a result of my dad's death in an offshore accident. He was killed on an offshore rig. He was a crane operator. And that crane, when they were lifting some supplies off of a barge, had faulty welds on the base of it, and those broke. And when the boom hit the barge below, it catapulted him out of the seat of that crane. So probably from what I recall was a pretty ugly situation. One of the pieces that actually was turned over, I hadn't told this part before either, but one of the things that was turned over when we got his belongings and all that came off the rig was his watch that he was wearing. And I think I kept that hidden from her probably about a year, and she came across it. And that was good timing because she could deal with it, but the watch was pretty messed up from what had happened. But as a result of the accident, there was a lawsuit filed. And, of course, before it went to trial, they settled up with her, and she got in excess of seven-figure settlement. Combined with that was a lifetime income. One of the problems for her was she didn't really understand the capability of the money and how to manage and derive income from it. And that's also kind of where I tie in the story about, you know, whether you, if you're dealing with the butcher or the dietitian. And she probably always thought she was dealing with a fiduciary, and she's really dealing with salespeople. You go into a stock place and say, hey, I want to put some money to work. I need some income, this and that. And they go, oh, yeah, we've got some stocks and mutual funds for you. And that just didn't go well. They had her doing option stuff and as well. And I remember riding with her in the car one day. She said, yeah, I've got to go buy. And she named the brokerage, and I don't remember offhand who it was. And that's kind of irrelevant. It's still the principle is, she says, yeah, these options expired, and I've got to shift some money over to cover that. And I'm thinking, well, why are you doing options, you know? And that's when I started investigating at an early age, trying to figure out what's going on here. And over time, she was getting parted with her money, and ultimately that seven figures in pile of cash that she has, she no longer has. But one of the positive things is she has that guaranteed life income. And I remember making the suggestion when she was going through, well, how do I take this settlement? And I thought, well, you should take more of the guaranteed income from that, because that can't ever go away. And it turns out, in her case, all of it should have been guaranteed income. And that goes like for Frank that came on board as a new client a few weeks ago. I told him, I said, in working with you, we're going to use a 100% principal protected route for generating your income for the rest of your life. And that is the right fit for him, because he's just way too nervous, and just the market just, it like worries him constantly. You don't need that in retirement. And there can be a completely safe way to go about income. And the purpose of your income should be able to where you're taking increases throughout retirement, and you should be able to rest and not worry, well, you know, what's going to happen with the fiscal cliff, or what's going to happen with the debt ceiling, or what's going to happen if Iran and Israel get into it. You know, there's so many things we can't control. And that's what I always tell folks. The one thing we can control is what we do with our money. And what happened to my mom's money should not have happened to her, and should not happen to anybody else, because you should at least have guidance and somebody educate you to what's the real capability of this money. How can we make certain this income continues for you for the rest of your life? And if things are kind of going awry, how can we put the brakes on and stop this from going in the wrong direction? And that's why also in income planning, I think you need to do a GPS as well. You need to make sure of where you're going to be this year, next year, 3, 5, 10, 15 years out. Even if you're using a mix of principal protected equities, and interest rate financial tools. All those play into the mix, and you need to understand where they're going and look at the math of it. This is about the math, not somebody's theory, not my theory, but the math. I'd rather live my life by the math instead of by some Wall Street theory and saying, oh, yeah, based on historicals, we can generate this income and this stock bond mix is going to take care of you. Well, it will until something like 2008 handles. So once again, you got to understand the capability of the money, how much the money can generate, and how are you bringing certainty into the mix to make sure that never runs out of money for you. And you've got to have a guide that kind of understands you as well. And that's where some clients have a good balance of mix of, say, equities, interest, and principal protection versus, say, Frank, that's principally protected only. It's not cookie cutter. Everybody's a little bit different, but at the core, you should have a conservative outlook, in my opinion.
All right, we're back live now. And Gregory's origin story sounds sort of Batman-like, right? When he was a kid, crime took out his family and hurt his mother, and he's out to make sure this never happens to anyone else again. It's very Batman-like, where in adulthood, and this happens in other behaviors as well, not just your career path or your vigilante path, where you spend the rest of your life trying to, you know, fill the voids that were created in childhood. I had a happy childhood, which is, explains why I'm just a purposeless clown bouncing around having fun. But no, that's what it's like. Whenever you see something directly have a negative effect on some of the people you love the most and it hurts, you know, you look out in the rest of the world and you see, hey, these other people with financial situations, I know exactly what that feels like. I can't say I know exactly what that feels like. Gregory knows exactly what that feels like because he's been through it. And it's almost kind of weird to explain the lack of a disconnect. This guy knows what you're going through. Look, just because he lives in a nice house these days and he has a successful business and some employees and a little tiny empire building, that doesn't mean he doesn't know what it's like to struggle with money. That doesn't mean he doesn't know what it's like to be poor or live paycheck to paycheck or go bankrupt or actually be in the negative where you have $100,000 in mortgage debt and then you've got the tens of thousands of credit cards and you don't know how you're going to pay it all off. Been there, done it, went through it, came out the other side better, and wants to help you go through it too. So that's another thing that may interest you in coming to our next live event Tuesday, October 3rd. I had a guy just this week who said, look, what if I just want to skip the event and be a client? Can I just come in the office? Like, well, if you already listened to the show long enough and you know what we're all about and you feel like you have a solid handle on our philosophy and you know that lines up with the way you want to work with your money, okay, you can skip the step. But for most people, it begins October 3rd. RSVP, you can go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or call the office for Gregory Ricks directly, 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Definite banking. What's your take on that?
You know, the guy that actually came up with the concept is Nelson Nash. But it is building up cash value inside of a whole life policy. And then when you're wanting to go buy your car or remodel your kitchen, you're borrowing from yourself and paying yourself back as if it was the bank. You want to treat it as an investment, but the IRS wants it to still act like a life insurance policy to make sure it works. So you have these mechs that you have to make sure you're not overfunding it. The concept works, but also it's not for everybody because you have to have money to push into it.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
You're looking to expand your family, aren't you? Might be a little extra hair around the house, some vet bills, a little extra noise, but it's totally worth it. Do the right thing. Don't buy. Adopt. From Baton Rouge to New Orleans to Biloxi, Kismet Pet Adoptions will help you expand your family. KismetPetAdoptions.com. K-I-S-M-E-T PetAdoptions.com.
you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
One thing, you definitely should accelerate your payments. It makes a big difference by just making an extra two payments a year, because that's one thing we're like to retire is that mortgage when they retire. Boom, you've added cushion.
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Everybody's mindset is to be a millionaire at retirement because of inflation and lost buying power. Remember, in 1974, a Big Mac cost 75 cents. Is that some inflation or what?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
Music for your wallet's ears. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Happy Saturday. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. You're listening to iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Gregory Ricks is not in studio today. He's partying at our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Coldplay crushed it last night, according to Gregory. Oh, must be nice. Yeah, I'm a little jealous. But you can listen to it when it happens again tonight. Go to your iHeartRadio app. It's just splashed with ads for it right now. You can't hardly get away from it. For good reason. It's the best festival of the year. Actually, Gregory said the iHeart Country Festival in Austin is actually the best one of the year. But hey, well, kind of hard to argue with that. Real quick, though, when Wes Blanchard, he's our guest coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. He's the estate planning attorney that we lean on for some legal advice. So if you have a legal situation, call in about a half hour. But when he got here, he's like, how you doing? I was like, all right. And he goes, well, what's the matter? I'm like, it's football. He goes, yeah, I figured as much. Yeah, it's football. It's tough. I mean, season's over. Saints are going to do nothing this year. LSU is already done. I know they've only lost one game, but when you get hosed by Mississippi State that hard, it's kind of hard to see a path to glory from here. And, you know, I'm my hometown teams aren't doing so well either, so I'm a little bummed out. And it shouldn't ruin your weekend like that, but we love sports. We probably love sports a little too much, right? Especially me. But I'm not as bad as some people up in Detroit. The old Joe Louis Arena, where the Detroit Red Wings played for decades, it's now been mothballed, and they're moving to a nice, brand spanking new, shiny arena, because that's what Detroit needed to do, spend $1 billion in taxpayer money on a new stadium, because they don't have any other problems in Detroit. It looks like the Jetsons over there, doesn't it?
No.
But there's 3,000 people who I think are sports morons. The Detroit Red Wings, they're the smart ones. They took little shavings. They claim they took little shavings of the ice from Joe Louis Arena. And they put it in 3,000 little vials, like little crack vials. And it's melted now, so what you're getting is a few drops of water in a crack vial. And they're selling them for $85 a pop. Now, the weird thing, like it's not like a football field where the dirt that you go stand on today was the dirt that Les Miles was standing on a couple of years ago, and the dirt that Jamarcus Russell was on a few years ago, and the dirt all the way back to Billy Cannon or whoever else, as far back as you want to go. It's the same plot of land. That's not how it works in rinks at all. They melt that thing down, and then they'll put over a basketball court on it, and then they'll play, and it doesn't stay iced all the time. It's not the same ice that all those Red Wings were skating on the whole time. It was the ice from the last event that they had there when they basically had their goodbye party for the Detroit Red Wings. $85 a pop for a little crack vial with some drops of water in there that you were told at one time for at least a day was ice in Joe Louis Arena. That is a level of sports fandom that defies my logic, and I'm ridiculous about sports. Horrible investment. Not that much different than gold, though. Does this little drop of water have any intrinsic value? Well, yeah, it could hydrate you for about a second. Yeah. That's about it. All right. So another weird investment that we get asked about, 770 accounts. You know, you see little articles on this, or they'll do a report on 60 Minutes, or you see something over here on Bloomberg, and we get asked, what's a 770 account? This sounds so mysterious. Not to Gregory. This was from, man, almost 3 years ago.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, Louisiana's 401k and retirement authority. This Saturday, 10 to 1, News Talk 99.5, WRNO.
You can also reach me at gregoryricks.com or 832-9200.
We were in the middle of talking about the 770 accounts. It's been bubbling under the surface, being tossed around on the Alex Jones websites and conspiracy territory. But when it starts to leave the boundaries of conspiratorial websites and we're getting regular old Joe everyday questions about it, well, it's time to address it. We have now established that they're not really a secret, and the average American can have access to them. So what exactly is a 770 account?
770 account is named after the IRS code 7702, which governs life insurance contracts. The IRS guideline states a contract meets the cash value accumulation test of this subsection if, by the terms of the contract, the cash surrender value of such contract may not at any time exceed the net single premium which would have to be paid at such time to fund future benefits of the contract.
Can you say that in English? Because I got lost along the way again.
It still has to remain a life insurance contract and not just an asset accumulation tool. So basically what it says here in the part at the end of that, not at any time the net single premium, which would have to be paid at such time to fund future benefits under the contract, that your contributions cannot surpass that, or it will not act or look like a life insurance contract. So you can overfund it up to a point. The mechanics of it, it still has to look like, act like life insurance. But what is going on here is where they're talking about a play on life insurance where it can be max funded. And here's the catch. You still have to qualify for the life insurance. And there's life insurance premium. So you work out the math, and in some situation, that is a favorable tool to utilize.
But that's not behaving like life insurance. That's not setting money aside so in case you pass away, then there's a big lump sum that gets paid out. That's an investment vehicle right there.
Well, they're using it that like that up into those limits. What's behind 770 accounts and what we were talking about in any advertising that presents a get-rich scheme or any secret tax-free investment known only to bankers or the rich. And so they create that impression that this is only accessible by select people, then they, oh, I won't in. And then they might not be looking at this the right way. And it's not looking at life insurance the typical way. So overfunding it, why? So later you can take out money in a tax-favored situation, or actually if you're borrowing money out of the life insurance policy, and let's look at it this way. You overfund it, allow it to work for a while. So it's
hang on. Now, you've scolded me for saying overfunding it. You mean max funding.
Well, yeah. Well, overfunding it means, you know, what premium does it take for this to work as
to stay whole,
its
right?
Its primary job to pay out a death benefit when I die sometime in the future. Most of the time you're thinking about, okay, what's the premium? I don't want to overpay. What's the least I can pay to get that benefit? That's really what you're always thinking. And this is the opposite. What is the most I can put into that policy? So what you're more likely to treat it is, how can I put as much in as fast as I can? Instead of paying for it for the next 30, 40, 50 years up until I die, and that's basically whole life or universal life, variable life, which you should avoid. Let's pay all those premiums in as quick as we can. Either drop it all in right now or pay it all in over the next 5 years. Then let that money work and grow, and then 30 years from now, start taking borrowing money out of the policy. And let's look at it this way. Okay, I've put $100,000 in the life insurance policy, and now it's worth $400,000. So what I'm looking to do is to get that $300,000 of growth out without paying taxes. So I borrow the money out of the policy, and you've done a workaround on the tax system. You've accessed the money. All these policies aren't built the same. It's not one size fits all. You have to look for the ones that work best for that strategy of max funding, because a lot of them are going to charge you interest rates, and it might not be competitive to borrow the money out and work. So you got to look at those numbers. Or how can you do a wash loan, meaning the yield versus the loan rate washes each other out. So now we're accessing the money and not paying any interest to the insurance company. That would be the preferred situation. With this also, you've also heard of probably infinite banking or bank on your life or be your own banker. All these kind of terms are being promoted out there. And that strategy is for, once again, using whole life or universal life insurance to max fund, overfund a policy. And if you're needing to go buy a car, James, borrow the money out of your life insurance policy to go buy the car and pay it back with interest as if you were borrowing it from the bank. So your own personal bank, which is your life insurance policy, is making the profit instead of the banker down the street. So that's the twist on that, is how to become your own banker. You know, fund things yourself, it saves money. And that's where they're using life insurance. One way could be looked at as a forced accumulation tool. You build the money up in there and you tend to leave it alone.
The evolution of the life insurance policies, a little more fascinating than I expected. It used to be you would just pay in some premiums and they would hold a big basket of everyone's money. And if someone passed away, they would dip into that. But somewhere along the way, they said, look, you can invest with us, because they're always coming up with new ways while you would want to go buy their life insurance policy over the competition. So they'll say, look, we'll give you growth on that. So it's a little game they're playing to where you're supposed to pretend like this is still a life insurance policy and it's supposed to act.
Well, it is a life insurance policy. No pretending. There is mortality costs and fees built into it, but you're doing the play on, hey, this has a good savings or growth element to that. That's not always the case. And so you can build up assets, and how can I do the workaround on the taxes? And that's by borrowing money out of the policy. Now, there is one problem with that. If the cash value goes dry, the policy is going to end, then you've created a big taxable event.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so so in that case,
as borrowing it, it's a loan, so you're not paying taxes on it. But if the policy no longer exists, the IRS is coming for their money.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, Louisiana's 401k and retirement authority. This Saturday, 10 to 1, News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me at gregoryricks.com or 832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
How about your traditional IRA and 401k? If your earnings are in the higher tax brackets, you can benefit from contributing to a traditional IRA or 401k. This reduces your income and eliminates capital gains as a result of trading inside the account.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
What do I cherish? Precious moments. Watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Fortunately, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. A cure is in sight.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our CPA, Jude Heath.
For taxpayers that get these phone calls, it's very scary. Give us a call. We'll call them back on your behalf. And usually those calls then go away.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. It's the ultimate getaway for me because it's hard to worry about business, radio, stress when I'm going 135 miles an hour in a straightaway, and then I have to slow down to about 60 in a few seconds to make that right-hand turn. Oh, the adrenaline. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
I am self-employed. What would you recommend for someone who wants to set up a 401k in that situation?
I would look at a SEP, Simplified Employee Pension. It's a type of IRA. Inexpensive. You can pick your investments and custodian. But for a solo 401k, you're going to need a plan administrator. It gives you a little bit more creativity with contribution matching all expenses to your company. Oh, and profit sharing into the plan to get you to that number. And, oh, your wife can be a part of the solo 401k. And this is all pre-tax money. So you're making all that money. You can dial it back. It's one of the ways to reduce your taxes.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Saying you need to get it together. Time to call Gregory. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Happy Saturday. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker, flying solo without Gregory. Today he's at our iHeartRadio Music Festival. Chris Stapleton that you hear in your speakers right now is one of the stars there. I like Chris Stapleton. He's got a great little solo career, but he's one of these guys that before they let him cut his own album, because he's not that good on camera. He's not an attractive fella. He wrote songs for a bunch of people that you would know, like one of Darius Rucker, Hootie, one of his biggest hits. Chris Stapleton wrote him. So you've heard a lot of his music before. It's Meghan Trainor's the same way. Yeah, she wrote a lot of songs that you heard from other artists before she ever came out, and it was only after she had written hit songs for like three different people, and then she was like, all right, I wrote a hit song, and I want to do it. And they're like, fine, we'll let you do a song. And boom, it's a hit. And then she's out. Same thing, same reason, though. She's not as pretty on camera as some of the other people she was writing for. I think she... Not a Taylor Swift. Who else she write for? Anyway, it's one of these things you've heard me say. Isn't it an amazing coincidence how all of the best singers in our country are at least nines, if not tens? They're all beautiful, really? There's not one chud out there with a beautiful voice? There, I'm telling you, for every beautiful girl like Katy Perry with an awesome voice that can rock it, there are a thousand Susan Boyles who look like a Susan Boyle, but boy, they can sing. They're not going to be in the top 10 very much. Isn't that the weirdest thing? So Chris Stapleton is one of these guys that he looks pretty ate up, you know, for as young as he is. Man, you're an ugly fella. You kind of look like Captain Caveman a little bit. But the greatest quote I've heard about Chris Stapleton comes from Ramon Robles, the producer on the Michael Berry show, the King of Ding, the guy who's always hitting the ding, ding, that guy. He tweeted one time after or during an awards festival for music, I would rather listen to Chris Stapleton comb chili out of his beard than sit through one Florida Georgia Line song. Now, I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying that is a great line. That is beautifully crafted, well-written, not a wasted word in there. That's a great insult. I like that one. I don't hate Florida Georgia Line. I do like Chris Stapleton, but that'll stick with you. It's like, man, that's an insult just to end it all, isn't it? All right, I want to squeeze in one more highlight with Gregory Ricks on it so you get some sort of financial expertise before Wes Blanchard jumps in here, our estate planning attorney, and gives us some legal expertise. Now, this was something that happened recently. In fact, it happened this week. How you should properly help your grandkids with college.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hey, what was this you were going to ask me earlier?
I looked, there was a great survey, and I love this because I look at this stuff kind of to tell my kids, but I can also think like sort of fourth dimensionally 20 years down the road, where they say if your kid has to take out debt to go to college, the average that's putting him back, the student loan debt that he acquires, delays his first home purchase by about 7 years. And look, that's just basically the ball rolling on the American dream, you know, getting the little yard with the white picket fence. That's what the first mortgage is. You are delaying the beginning of, I don't want to say adulthood, but sort of the American dream by 7 years. Now, that's 7 years later that they're going to start building the equity that so many people can use and rely on for other things, cash out refis or reverse mortgages or whatever. It's going to delay getting that mortgage done. And so he'll have 7 less years post-mortgage to really pile on that IRA and save up retirement money. It is delaying adulthood and your financial security 7 years. So the question I have is, I'm not worried about my kids already. I'm worried about my grandkids. My kids, I want them to toughen up, and you're going to figure this out on your own. Tough love. Grandkids will be spoiled. Okay?
So now you're not helping your kids, but those grandkids, yeah, don't worry. No worries.
It is kind of like that. And look, my parents are a lot tougher on me than they are on my kids, obviously. So I can already see that I'm going to be like that. I want to know, Gregory Ricks, when I'm about 60 or so, or God, I'd have to be older than that, whenever my grandkids are going to college, do I foot the bill so they don't delay, you know, getting that house and getting that whole family life and getting their adulthood going? Do I save them 7 years of their fiscal life by paying for it for them?
So what you're worried about is they're going to put off the grandkids because of the debt. We got to get the house. Then we'll talk about having kids.
Yeah, well, and part of this is my altruism.
And then you'll be old, mean, and grumpy, and I don't want to help them either.
And I'm not going to have an extra $200,000 laying around without my retirement getting destroyed, right?
Yeah.
Because I imagine it's going to cost a little bit more than it does now. I mean, what's a Big Mac going to be? So what do you tell someone like that who's thinking about dipping into their nest egg to help out the grandkids with that student loan debt? Because kind of from the grandkids' point of view, what if I suffer a little bit the last 5 years of life to keep my progeny going?
Income planning. I know there's this individual a few years ago that came in, and he had awesome pension, Social Security, and a pretty good-sized 401k, but his thoughts were to give away the 401k. So I'm not going to need this money, so I'm thinking about just kind of hitting big distributions and spreading it among the kids. And he's in his 60s. And my thought was, you can turn that on to start having a reasonable income from those assets to share with the kids. But once you give it all away, you've kind of gotten them used to big gifts from you. And then later down the road, if they're really needing help, you won't have it to give. And what if you in turn need it? Because retirement's going to be a long time. I think it's a bad idea to spend it down. Needless to say, we never worked together because we weren't on the same page. I didn't think he should do that. I think he should create an income and share that. Not, you know, it's kind of like, gosh, I love this goose. Well, why do you like it? It lays golden eggs. But, you know, Easter's coming up, and I sure want to eat me some goose. No. Go get you something else to eat. Let's keep the golden eggs coming out. You see my point?
So I should invest some sort of investment and let the interest payments or whatever payments go toward their student loans?
Yes, I kind of told you a long story to get there, but yeah, that's the answer.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
All right, back alive now. Coming up in a little less than 10 minutes, Wes Blanchard is going to be in studio. He's the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks & Associates. He's the guy that we lean on probably the most. And I don't know, you know, the magnitude, how you measure this, but I would say the most often he's the guy we have to call. And why? Because for him and Judah Heath, there's a 100% chance you're going to need their services. Because there's only two things that are certain in life. You know the old cliche, the stupid saying that old men have been telling you since you were a kid. You know, it's one of those sayings like when people say hot enough for you. It's like, well, people stop saying that. It stopped being funny when I was 8 and people are still saying it and I'm 40. Two things are certain in life, death and taxes. So you're going to need an estate planning attorney and you're going to need a CPA. Or, hey, you can just fly blind and let it all hit you in the face and you can suffer and your family can suffer. I guess that's your other option. But no, two things certain in life, death and taxes. So you're going to need a Wes Blanchard. You're going to need a Jude Heath. And if you don't use our guys, hey, that's fine. We'd at least like to fill your head with enough knowledge that when you go searching for the guy that you want, that you're more equipped to make that decision. So we're going to cover some of that coming up in the next hour. You know, why isn't a website like these, I don't want to hang anyone out to dry, but you know, websites where you can go get legal documents sort of on an a la carte basis. It's really just, it's like a legal version of Mad Libs. And I don't know if you want your entire estate hanging in the balance. I don't know if you want your finances hanging in the balance of a Mad Libs version of a will or a Mad Libs version of a trust or heck, even a bill of sale or whatever the heck else you're trying to do. And also we're going to talk about filial law. Filial law, guess what? Your children may very well have to pay for your health care. It varies from state to state, but we do have some filial statutes that could affect you here in Louisiana and Mississippi. And wait, let me check the for our Alabama listeners, because we've been getting a lot of Alabama, you're clear on this one. There are not filial responsibility laws in Alabama, so you're kind of off the hook on this one. I invite you to listen in anyway. Any questions, though, it's a good time to call in because I'm about to have a full-blown lawyer across the table from me, 504-260-0995. And I mean full-blown lawyer, not like a half-cocked lawyer. See, those are the two options. There's a three-quarter lawyer, too. I've seen that, like sort of the capri-pantsive lawyer. He goes all the way to the ankles, that Wes Blanchard. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Life with Gregory Ricks. If you need to contact the office, find our next live event, listen to the show live or on demand, remember the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
iHeartRadio. Sorry about the delay there. I have the little cameras mounted up there so you can watch on Periscope, and it fell out of the little mount, and I tried to catch it, and it didn't work. So not to kind of keep it half-cocked. You sure you can't go fix that? All right. It's all crooked now. It looks stupid. This is driving me nuts. I'm James Parker, your co-host, Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. Yeah, we're multimedia. We're not just on the radio. On your airwaves, we're also on the iHeartRadio app. Some guy on yesterday's show, who was it? That was the GOAT on Periscope. He goes, you know what y'all should do? Y'all should take these shows out and you should put them up on a podcast. You have a lot of good info out here that could really help a lot of people. It's like, yeah, maybe we should start doing that. Oh, wait, we started doing that 7 years ago. No, and it's really easy to find, though. I understand if you don't know about our podcast situation here. You can get it at GregoryRicks.com. You can go listen to past episodes. So if you're sitting at your desk at work and you want to look like you're working, but just really, mooch off your employer's bandwidth, you can listen like that. I recommend the Gregory Ricks and Associates app just because it's the hub for all things Winning at Life. Or you can go, if you're already on the iHeartRadio app, something I listen to now almost every day, you go type in Gregory Ricks in the search bar or Winning at Life and it'll pop up. And you're what, two thumb pushes away? And then you can slide around forward and backwards during the shows, so you don't have to like sit through a show. It's all time shifted. And I want you to start listening like that. I want you to, I don't know. I don't even have to encourage you to do this. You're going to start doing it eventually anyway because it's a better way to listen. And you know how I know? Because that's what we've done with TV. Wes, did you know that I think it was last year was the first time more than 50% of TV was watched time shifted. It's now past 51%. It's the majority of TV that is watched today is watched either off a DVR or some other on-demand platform. So, you know, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, hit that little button next to the... No, not that one. On the box where you plugged your headphone in. No?
It's all good.
Can you hear me now on your headphone? Mm-hmm. Try that box then. And there's that little button that switches it between this studio and that studio. Live radio. Hey, how you like that? All right, so where was I? Oh, yeah, the podcast. Type in Gregory Ricks, Winning It Life. It pops right up on the iHeartRadio app. But you can do that because I do that with Michael Berry's show a lot. If it's in the middle of the day and Rush is talking about something I don't want to talk about or Glenn Beck's not doing it for me, I go to the iHeartRadio app. And I can either listen to Michael Berry's morning show because he's on from 8 to 11 live. Or if he's not on, he's on 5 hours a day, so there's not a whole lot of time he's not on. But if he's not on, I want to listen to the last thing he said, I go to his podcast. You type in Michael Berry, it'll go to his podcast. It's great stuff. I love it. So, Wes, welcome back. You're as big of a sports fan as I am, although I will admit you're a little more knowledgeable when it comes to football than I am. And that's a bold statement because I keep up with football pretty religiously, and you know more than me.
I watch a lot of it. My wife will tell you that. But you know, I think you've played the game. You know, I'm not built to play the game. So you may have a little more insider knowledge. I do watch a ton of it. I do listen and read and all that. I just enjoy the sport a lot.
Yeah, I like the sport a lot too. But look, as big of a fan as you are, do you understand these people that spent $85, 3,000 people spent $85 for a vial of air quotes, ice from Joe Louis Arena?
Look, you know, it's that sort of nostalgia feeling, I suppose. I guess if you were there and, you know, there was a big championship game. I don't watch a ton of hockey, but, you know, if you're there and that moment meant something to you, maybe something, you know, really sticks in your heart, $85 might not be that big of a deal to you.
But it's a vial of water. It's just a few drops of water.
Right.
No, man, you're nicer than I am. I think you're insane. I don't understand those guys that, like, when Emmitt Smith breaks the record and they take his jersey and they cut it into, like, 1,000 little pieces, and you buy a poster or, like, a baseball card and it has a little square of that jersey on there. At least you can tell, hey, that's actually the navy color that was on the square. This is actually a piece of fabric. This is water drops. This could be out the tap. This could be your leftover ice from your Chick-fil-A lunch, you know? Like, there's nothing distinguishable about it. It's just liquid.
Right.
And it's a little crack vial of it.
No, it's the same thing I think you alluded to earlier with the Les Miles grass and all that. Weren't they selling pieces of grass at some point?
But that's at least the same field that everybody played on. This is water that, even if it is from that arena, that arena's been melted and refrozen 1,000 times. None of them played on that ice.
That's probably more of a fair point than the turf, I suppose.
But would you, if you were a huge fan of this hockey team and they were selling the little vials of ice?
No way.
No way? Okay, good. All right. Bad investment.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to run that by Gregory. He'll throw pins at me if I say, hey, would we invest in this? Like, what have I taught you? All right, so let's get down to business here. This was an eye-opening experience for me because the James that you hear now on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks is quite a bit different than the James that started 7 years ago on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Because while I have a natural interest in economics and I'm an educated man, I took a few classes in college that covered a lot of this stuff. I really, compared to what I know now, I knew somewhere between Jack and squat. Compared to this guy. So when I learned some of these other things, boy, it was an eye-opening experience the first time I heard about this. But now I've kind of had a few years to digest this, and I'm anxious to spread the word to other people about things like filial law. I didn't even know that existed. I don't think I'd even heard that word in my entire life before this show. But that's kind of information we need to know. How did we go through high school and college and the real world without learning some of these very important laws that affect some people? And it affects them not in like little slight ways, but I mean, these are huge consequences of some of these laws, and they're virtually unknown. Can you give like a quick legal from a lawyer mind, a summary of what filial law is?
Sure. So filial law is essentially the idea that a person's children may become responsible for medical bills or nursing home bills, long-term care bills, and things like that in the event that the parent is unable to pay those bills. Look, they date back way, way back. I want to say 17th century or something like that is when you first started to see them. But in essence, that's kind of what they are. The good news is there's really not a true reason to be too afraid of them. They're on statute. They're on the books. Some of the states have started to repeal them. I think there's only 27, 29 states that still have them in place, but they're rarely, if ever, enforced. So while it does sound scary, there's really not a credible threat. You know, it's always going to be up to the judge's discretion to sort of look at the situation and see what the issue is. But in essence, that's what they are. Look, mom or dad's been in a long-term care facility for however long and maybe has racked up hundreds of thousands of dollars of bills, and they're unable to pay that. Well, the nursing home does have some sort of recourse, but the defenses for the children are so strong. That's why you rarely, if ever, see them enforced or see them actually, brought in a civil suit.
Yeah. Well, and then here's where it gets weird. It doesn't matter if it's enforced or not. If you don't know what's going on and you sit on your butt, you could lose. The example is a nursing home sued the son of a resident patient who could no longer pay for her nursing home care. So he didn't take the matter seriously. He didn't hire an attorney. He ignored the paperwork. He ignored the lawsuit. He ignored the letters that were coming to him. And the nursing home won a default judgment against him to the tune of thousands and thousands of dollars.
Correct. And look, there's a bigger lesson in there for anybody who gets served with a lawsuit. That word default judgment is something that can and will happen to you likely if you do not answer or respond or do something to say, hey, I'm here, I'm going to fight this. You have to do something, whether it's hiring an attorney or not. You have to make your presence known, because the court is not going to hesitate to give the plaintiff that default judgment if they can come in and put on their case that says, hey, look, you know, here's why we're suing. Here's our evidence. It's valid. It's, you know, it's admissible evidence. And there's been no defense. Well, at that point, the court is essentially saying, well, you win by default. There's no defense. It's like a forfeit almost.
It is a legal forfeit,
that's
right?
Exactly,
default judgment?
That's exactly what it is. And so while in that case, it does pertain to filial law enforcement, that's a more general concept. If you're served with a lawsuit, that will happen to you in almost any case if you just decide to ignore it. And you really only have so many days after the default judgment's been rendered to challenge it, after which point it just becomes enforceable. And they can put a lien on your home. They can garnish your wages. They can do all of these things to actually get their money just because you decided that you didn't think that their claim was a viable one and not worth your time. Well, now it's worth your money.
Uh-huh.
So that's where, you know, the rubber meets the road.
You know, when those garnishment stops or start, that ticks me off, because I imagine this happens to you. That's when Gregory gets calls. It's like, well, you should have called this last week before this garnish happened. Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the point which the garnish is actually happening, it's likely not going to occur until the judgment is not appealable any longer or can't be overturned or anything like that. So you're looking at, you're probably, 2 months late at that point. You know, if Gregory's getting the call saying, hey, can you help us stop this? No, you're already,
right. Then
you're
it's
already
too late.
Up the creek, buddy.
See, and here's the deal. I guess Gregory's a lot bigger hearted than me when it comes to financial issues, because he's been hurt by them in the past. But when I hear about these stories, I'm like, man, that dummy should have called us last year. Gregory's like, man, there's nothing I can do for him. And it weighs on him. It's like, man, there's a limit to how nice you need to be here. But, you know, he thinks of himself. He thinks of his mother. He thinks of his family who've, you know, gotten hosed through bad financial advice.
Sure.
Basically. So, I mean, I have some sympathy for you, but if you don't call before it gets to that point, you might as well not even call.
Yeah. And you know, again, I get it. I understand you want to, you might not feel good about the claim, but it's not an excuse to ignore it.
All right. We're going to go through some more details of filial law with Wes Blanchard. He's the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates. And he will be at our next live event that's coming up Tuesday, October 3rd. Not this Tuesday, but next. And look, this is part of the expertise. This is part of the Justice League of Finance to handle all aspects of your money. If you have any questions for him, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
As far as the Wall Street side, that's security licenses and federally regulated. On the insurance side, it's a state license. Most of the Wall Street firms require you to be Wall Street only. They don't want the fixed side coming into it. They just want the variable. Why? It generates continuous fees is one of the reasons. That's why, like, we're as a registered investment advisory firm, we think it's very important to be able to have that wide-ranging discussion, because I have people coming in that are upset about what's going on the Wall Street world, but they still like that. They just want to minimize the downside.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200. Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. They have a fun go-kart track, racing school, a 2.7-mile race course. And yeah, there's crazy guys on motorcycles. Hang off of bikes, scrape some knees in the turns. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
The number one thing retirees worry about is running out of money. Money can be the most stressful part of your life, but it doesn't have to be. James Parker here. Gregory Ricks has been helping people just like you with their money problems for decades. And it starts with Gregory Ricks Live, Tuesday, October 3rd, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or call 504-832-9200.
Our sold-out 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival, hosted by Ryan Seacrest.
iHeartRadio.
Two nights, one stage.
Let's go!
This weekend at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas.
Watch it live on CWTV.com or the CW app at 9 p.m. tonight. And for the first time ever, watch our daytime village starting at 1 p.m. today.
Capital One is the proud marquee partner of the iHeartRadio Music Festival. For more information on Capital One products and services, please visit CapitalOne.com today.
This weekend, our sold-out iHeartRadio Music Festival featuring over 20 of the world's biggest artists is coming to T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Big Sean will play his second show of the day on Saturday after helping to fight poverty at the Global Citizen Festival, 2,000 miles away in Central Park, New York City. Find out how you can help fight poverty at GlobalCitizen.org. Experience our festival live on CWTV.com or the CW app, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific tonight. And for the first time ever, watch our daytime village, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific today.
Cause you make me wanna pull this truck to the side of the road.
Big enough to deliver, small enough to care. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
I'll get drunk on you with no alcohol. If you don't stop, I'm gone. Girl, you make me wanna. Yeah.
Welcome. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Flying solo as Gregory is enjoying our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival in Las Vegas, T-Mobile Arena, hosted by the MGM Grand is where they put us up in years past. I think they're still putting them up there. What a cool little place that is. Because you haven't been to the festival before, have you, Wes Blanchard?
I haven't.
Wes Blanchard's in studio. He's our estate planning attorney with the Total Wealth Authority. It's not a concert. They have things going on all day, and they have, okay, the daytime village is over here in this parking lot next to the, what is that place? Like the, not the Flamingo. whatever's next to the MGM Grand, just on that same side of the strip. I can't believe I forgot it because I was just there. Then they'll have some after the concert. There's a VIP party, and it'll be at whatever that big club is in the Luxor Hotel. And then there's another event the next day, like between the Daytime Village and the concert, where they're having like some DJ spinning, and he'll be at the one in the MGM Grand. They just have it, it's almost like a resort, and they have a bunch of stuff planned for you. You know, like you're on a cruise ship, and they're like, well, we're doing the comedy show at 6, and then you can play bingo at 7:30, and then we're going to play the newlywed game at 9. So it's a whole scene. They just it's like a vacation, but they're running you through the paces. And you don't mind. You're like, oh, God, got to go to this party. Okay, now we got to go to this party. Okay, well, there's some awesome music. Okay, well, let's go see this artist. Oh, look, there's a Beatle. That's what I was like when I went. It was just a whirlwind. And I'm a music fan, so that was great. But, hey, we got to talk about some business here. We're still talking about filial law, the process by which your children may have to pay for your health care. But I'm a little self-centered here. I'm thinking, you mean there's a process by which I may be held accountable for my parents' health care? You know, I'm not too worried about my kids having to pay for me. You know, I wiped a butt this morning before I came to work. So they're still young. That's what's on my mind. Heck yeah, you're going to pay for some of my health care. But you were talking about how this is sort of rarely used because there's so many protections for the kids. So I just wanted to give an example of that. There was a daughter who was sued for $300,000 for her parents' plural nursing home care bill. The nursing home, this matter, lost, even though they were in the right, because her attorney proved that she could not in any way afford the bill. Now, of course, no one has $300,000, but even if you wanted to put her up on some sort of payment plan where they pay it off over 10 years, okay, so that's another $30,000 a year. You have an extra $30,000 a year that you can throw at your parents' nursing home care? No, I don't either. So in that case, she won because the lawyer was able to prove, not indigent status, but I don't have $30,000 extra a year laying around.
Right, and that's probably the more frequent outcome, and I think that's probably why you don't see these civil suits come up. And it's, again, what I was talking about a little earlier with the judges taking a lot of different things into consideration. And one is, of course, the ability to pay, right? And then the other one is saying, okay, well, what about the child's own bills? What do they have? Do they have children? Do they have education costs to cover? And, you know, how does all that work? And then, you know, you can even go as far down and look at the relationship that child had with the parent. Were they estranged, or was this the child that put them up into the nursing home knowing that they didn't have the money to pay? Those things are going to be ones that, you know, the judge is going to look at. But again, that discretion is generally going to lean in favor of the children. I mean, there's going to have to be some really pressed circumstances to hold a child liable for a debt that they didn't incur.
That was one of the things I learned too, because state to state it's different, and I like it when there's 50 different laws in 50 different states. I wish we would do that for healthcare and education and Social Security. I wish we'd do that for everything, except for what's in Article 1, Section 8, which we're really supposed to do at the federal level. Because in some states, in like Indiana, they have filial law statutes, but if you go to court and you're like, yeah, I know you want me to pay my dad's nursing home bill, but he left my mom when I was 6 months old and I didn't see him again until we were adults. So he never fed me, clothed me, sent me to school, gave me a ride to soccer practice or anything. And they're like, oh, well, if he wasn't a decent dad, well, then screw him. You're off the hook. I like that in the legal system.
Yeah, it's you know, that's what they call equity, right? That you actually feel like you got a fair shake. But, you know, I think, again, that's probably what you'll see more often than not in that sort of circumstances. Even if you're close with your parents, even if you guys maintained a great relationship, it's still a pretty large leap to have someone else held liable for a debt that they didn't incur.
Yeah, but listen, you've got to think that there's some other things at play here, and you want to be able to take, like, if it's legal and it's ethical, it should be legal and ethical at the extremes. So you mean to tell me if Bill Gates' dad's in a nursing home that it's ethical that the taxpayers of America have to front the $300,000 off the hardworking backs of Wes Blanchard and Angie, our producer, and James Parker, instead of dipping into Bill Gates' $72 billion fortune? I mean, that becomes a problem only because we've socialized, we've communized Medicare and healthcare spending late in life so bad.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're bringing up, you know, some good points. The issue and all together is really just looking at whether the laws should be on the books to begin with. You know, because you can look at one extreme and then you look at the other, and it's the other side of it is the more common folk, right? And Bill Gates, sure. I mean, but honestly, the chances of his parents going into a nursing home and not having it already well paid for and the bills being paid and all that are slim to none. You're just looking at, you know, what does this law actually do other than give a nursing home the ability to not go under? And from a public policy perspective, you're just saying, okay, well, now Medicaid is not kicking in and someone else is going to have to pay for it. But the truth is Medicaid may or may not feel obligated to step in and pay the nursing home care or pay for that bill just based on, you know, someone else's inability to pay who didn't qualify otherwise anyway.
May or may not, huh?
Right. Well, I mean, likely not, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, when you're looking at it, is it really designed to protect anybody other than a nursing home? And in that case, you're saying, okay, guys, you guys just need to run the show a little better, right? Get your act together. When someone stops paying their bills, don't let it run up to $300,000.
Yeah, but it's also protecting the taxpayers as well, because we're the ones holding the bag. We're the backstop on this stuff.
I don't know if and that's what I'm saying. I don't know if that's the case, right? Because is the government going to step in and say, okay, we're going to pay that bill? Or do they look at the nursing home and say, hey, guys, you ran that really poorly. That was a terrible organizational investment for you. Mm-hmm. You need to get your act together. We're not going to bail you out. And we're certainly not going to ask the taxpayers to bail you out. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely not fair to do that. And it's certainly less fair even to single out one particular taxpayer, looking at the child who, again, may or may not have been associated with this parent.
It's not singling out a taxpayer. It's, hey, this is your mother. They're keeping it within the family. Here, we got some financial questions on Periscope. I thought it was going to be related to us, though. Yeah, you can ask your questions. I just may not answer them until Wes is gone. If it's not legally related, if it's just a financial question, we'll pick that back up at noon. Okay, so some states it's criminal, some states it's civil law. What's the big difference there?
Well, criminal law, you're going to go to jail or face jail time. Civil law, you're looking at monetary penalties. Someone's going to sue you and get a judgment rendered against you, at which point they'll try to collect money.
Okay, but you go to jail. How does that help anyone get their bills paid? How does that help the nursing home? How does that help the taxpayer?
Again, now you're right back to the point where we're starting to talk about, are these laws even worth being on the books? Because now you're actually costing the taxpayers more money, right? You're in jail, mm-hmm. and now the taxpayers are paying to put you up because you didn't have money to pay for mom and dad. I mean, how much sense does that make?
Look, you're turning me against these laws, but it's primarily because this law is born out of a previous bad law that I disagree with, too, and that's that we should be socializing medicine. We shouldn't be socializing medicine. Socialism is inferior to the free markets, even in old age. So if they didn't force the bill onto the taxpayers, then I wouldn't see a need for filial law at all. It would just be on the nursing home, and maybe nursing homes would act different. Maybe they'd say, well, we need your kid to co-sign before we let you in here. Or maybe when they're screening you know, their applicants, hey, you want to come to our nursing home? This is what your finances look like. You don't qualify, but what about your kids? You know, because look, it works in the opposite direction. When I'm 16 and I need to buy my first 1987 Plymouth Duster, mama's going to have to co-sign for that. Right, because I don't have the finances. A bank would be stupid to lend me some money because I'm bussing tables at Armadillo Willie's for minimum wage. Right. So this is kind of like the reverse of that. Now, this is instead of the parent co-signing for the kid, this would be the kid co-signing for the parent. Huh?
Now, right.
Are we on to something?
But yeah, exactly. But imagine the circumstances of your car situation where you went out and bought the car by yourself, no co-sign. And, you know, you total the car and all of a sudden, you know, you still had a payment left or multiple payments left on it. And the guys are looking at you like, all right, James,
you need to pay off your dad's truck.
Yeah, where's your money? And they say, okay, you know, you don't have it. Mom and dad, you need to pony up for this.
Right. But it's more fair or it's less unfair to go after the kid than it would be after total strangers via the tax system, I think. It's kind of a fun debate to have, though.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, we're going to continue with Wes Blanchard. He is the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates, and he's one of the two guides that everybody needs on the Total Wealth Authority. Two things are guaranteed in life: death and taxes. So we have two people that are guaranteed in life, Wes and Jude, because you're going to have those. I guess, you know, our other Total Wealth Authority members, they get used quite a bit. You know, Dwayne with the mortgages and Dwell Nola with the realty. But some people are already in their retirement home, you know, when we find them. Some people may not have another real estate transaction in their future. But we all have death in our future. Yay, happy Saturday. If you have any questions on how to deal with that, 504-260-0995. Or you can just skip it. Come to our live event October 3rd. RSVP at the website or the app. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
A fellow a few years ago came in to talk to me. His grand plan was to take distributions from his retirement to fund his son's college education. And it was a spend down of his account. And then he came back in a year later after he had started doing so and wanted help. And I told him it was already too late for him, that he had better have a pretty good agreement with that son to take care of him later in life. You better have a pretty good agreement if you're going to go down that road, give out your money, and then expect the kids to take care of you. How are they taking care of you right now, you might wonder? I don't want to be a burden on somebody else, and most of the families I work with don't want to be a burden.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Sharing has never meant as much as it does now. Everything is up for the world to see. But what if the sharing could be used to make a difference? The National MS Society is building a place where everyone can share their experiences for good. If you have a story, share it. If you have a solution, share that too. Because together, we are stronger. Join us at wearestrongerthanms.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
And I sure couldn't get into any discussion on a financial tool on the first meeting. We'll find out what's going on and help give you guidance. And if you should be somewhere or do something else, I will flat tell you that.
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Everybody's mindset is to be a millionaire at retirement because of inflation and lost buying power. Remember, in 1974, a Big Mac cost 75 cents. Is that some inflation or what?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
But you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey, you gotta keep your head
your
up.
Your daily dose of financial wisdom, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Remember sometimes, but you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey.
Hey, happy Saturday. What's up? This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm James Parker, your co-host on this magical financial voyage until 1 o'clock. If you have a financial situation or a legal issue just popped into your life and you're running around with your head swirling, you can't get it off your mind, well, we can attempt to put it at ease. Give us a call, 504-260-0995. You can also come by and leave your question over here in the Periscope feed. The Facebook Live crashed, so I think it's just this phone. This phone gives me about 40 minutes. It gave me 48 minutes today, and it's like, I don't think I wanted to stream anymore. That's enough. It's the weirdest thing. I've even reset the phone, and I've updated everything, and I defragged it because it's an Android and you can defrag them. Weirdest thing. But anyway, however you want to get us your question, you can maybe even throw it up on the Facebook page or call 504-260-0995. One of the banes of your existence is these websites that think they can do what you do. And luckily, I don't have to face that, but many other professions do that. And for a big chunk of them, look, technology is a superior way to go about it. If you want to go order a part from China, it's a lot easier to go on Amazon. And then here it comes. It's a lot better than getting on the phone and calling, trying to get a translator in Chinese at some factory in the middle of nowhere, or some middleman who works at Radio Shack, or, you know, some ordering it through Best Buy via the phone. You got to get transferred and stuff. So for some industries, this is an improvement. For the radio industry, technology, vast improvement. You can hear me not just through the air, but you can hear me on your phone, on the iHeartRadio app, on Periscope, on Facebook. And on the iHeartRadio app, you can either listen live to WBUV or WRNO, or you can pick up our podcast. Many doors have opened up, but it's almost the opposite for you. It's a bigger pain in the butt, and not necessarily because it's taking business away from you, but because the business that it takes from you gets screwed up, and then it comes back to you, and you have to deal with a screwed up legal situation instead of one from scratch. So without naming any websites specifically, what's the shortcoming in that? Why can't I just go to one of these websites and basically play like a legal Mad Libs and get myself a will or a trust or a power of attorney or some of these other legal documents that you do?
Sure. So in essence, the first thing you have to know is laws are state specific, right? So when you're on a website, ask yourself, Do you have the confidence that they are adequately informed about state-specific laws? That's the first thing. And then the second thing is just sort of a general concept. Ask yourself, if you're seeking legal advice, is that something you want to do over the internet? The answer is probably no. You want to sit and...
Well, hang on now. For the millennials and Generation Zs and, heck, I think I'm Generation X. Depends on which article you're reading that day. More and more, the internet is not some sort of barrier between trusts.
Well, to a certain extent, right? I guess that's what I'm saying is I would trust that I can buy, you know, genuine NFL tickets online, okay? And that's one transaction. If it goes wrong, I miss the game, it's not a life-altering decision. And that's what I'm getting to here is when you're talking about legal advice, the consequences are so much larger than most other internet transactions that you're going to take care of. And that's where, you know, I think seeing and talking to a live human being is going to give you what you're looking for. Again, not only are you sitting down with an attorney who is licensed to practice in the state that you're in. So if you're in Louisiana, you're in Mississippi, that attorney is licensed. So they are qualified to be practicing that state specific law, as opposed to calling a hotline or getting on a window chat with someone who is supposed to be qualified. And then the second issue you're facing is, okay, let's assume we have a decent conversation via chat line or something like that. Okay, what about the product? They send the product out, and how do I know that it's, you know, valid here? You know, what we're known for specifically in Louisiana is sort of being the oddball, right? Our laws are known for being...
Say the word.
A little...
Say Napoleonic.
Yeah. I mean, that's their root, and that's why they are, you know, a little bit off the wall. That's why they're uncommon. That's why they need special attention. And so, again, you need someone who knows how that affects your inheritance and your state and things like that. You don't need someone saying, "Hey, look, I can sell this to you at half the price." Well, think about it. You're going to get what you pay for. You pay half price, you're going to get half price service. They're going to send you a document. You may or may not fill it out correctly. They may help you walk through filling out the document, but are they going to put their name on that as an attorney, or is this just the sort of, you know, package you got from a website? And it comes up, you know, I see this in clients that come in all the time is they say, "Look, I have a will, and would you mind taking a look at it?" Sure, I'll take a look at it. And 85, 90% of the time, it's done by a Louisiana attorney, and they know what they're doing, and they're right on point. That 10 to 15% that come in, and they have one that they pulled off of the internet somewhere, and it's half in, you know, a Word document, and then there's their handwriting all over the place, and it's just signed, and they're like, hey, you know, here's it, you know, it's what I got. And I look at them, I say, this wouldn't fly. I couldn't even present this to a judge because I know it's invalid on its face. And they kind of look at me and they say, oh, well, I got it from such and such. And I say, well, that's exactly right, because they're not here to back it up. You need to make sure that you're talking to someone who can back it up. That's the major problem. And again, it's something that we covered. I feel like you can't cover it enough. If you're pulling one of those standard documents off and it's in type, and then you're filling in the blanks, that needs to be notarized at that point. That's not an adequate allographic will. An allographic will is going to be in the handwriting of the testator. So the person who's making the will, the person whose will it is, needs to handwrite the entire thing. That can be a problem for some people who are up in age and maybe have writer's cramp or just, you know, don't have great handwriting at all. That could be an issue. So why not take that time to come in and talk to someone who can set you up and get you pointed in the right direction, make sure that your heirs get what you're looking to give them, as opposed to having it divvied up as if you didn't have a will to begin with. So that's something, you know, I don't ever mind talking about, because I just don't feel like the internet is somewhere you go for legal advice. It's just too, you know, you talked about you don't know whether you're Generation X or, you know, a millennial. It just depends on the website.
Yeah, I'm either the oldest millennial or the youngest Gen Xer.
That's going to hold true for legal advice that you seek elsewhere, too. You're going to have multiple websites that say variations of different things. Go seek out a solid answer.
Well, look, I look at this because I went to college for computer programming. So I look at this from the stance of the guy who had to sit there and program out the question and answer algorithm that you go through to arrive at your Mad Libs will. And I know it gets reviewed by attorneys and stuff, and they're telling him, well, you need to add this, or you need to take this away, or this isn't right, or this, that's not right. So you have one guy, there's basically two groups making it. The programmers that are coming up with the algorithms to ask you all the questions and then piece the language together, and then the attorneys that are checking it. I don't think either one of those groups are likely to be well-versed in Napoleonic law. So if they're like, well, what is this? What do we have to do here on this algorithm for someone from Louisiana? And they're like, and they don't know, but the lawyer's not going to say, I don't know, because he's just going to look it up. He'll say, let me look it up. You don't have everything memorized, and you're going to double-check it anyway. But you have a guy who's kind of learning at the time that it's being written. That can't be better than Wes Blanchard.
Right. So you bring up an interesting point. When you're looking at computer programming algorithms, all of that tells you that what they're looking to put together is just a boilerplate document or boilerplate answer. And so you're not even getting client-specific advice.
Well, listen, when you coordinate with Gregory and you – y'all talk about how you weave his financial plan into your estate plan and how they're basically different parts of the same boat. How is that different than what you get online? Like, what's the necessary stuff? Because, you know, these websites, they're not communicating with your financial planner.
That's right.
So what are they missing with that disconnect?
So I think the issue that you're looking at is really a complex one. You know, it's hard to say what you don't get, right, until you don't have it. And I don't know if that makes a whole lot of sense, but what I'm saying is you're looking at a situation trying to figure out what you don't have, and it may be too late before you realize, hey, my plan was missing this. So you don't have that connection with two human beings who know your plan and can sit down and discuss specifics and realize exactly on point what it's missing. If you go through the entirety of the plan, the entirety of the estate plan, you say, okay, this is supposed to work this way, and it's going to yield this result. Okay, well, didn't yield that result. How do we know what we missed in the meantime? That's what you're gonna lose out on just using a sort of internet-based service as opposed to two human individuals.
Financial or legal questions, bring them on. 504-260-0995. I'll give it a shot, and I got Wes Blanchard here. He's the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority in studio for one more segment. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. You're listening to iHeartRadio.
financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Yeah, we talk about stocks and all these different choices and where we think a bottom might be. And you have to be careful with all of your decisions and seek professional licensed help in doing this.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, Raj. Happy birthday. How are you doing? Still feeling on top of your game?
No complaints.
Great. You've hit the big 5-0 now. Have you thought about talking with your doctor about some screening tests you need?
Screening for what?
High blood pressure, high cholesterol, colorectal cancer.
Jeez, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Hey, you have to know what's going on to stay on top of your game.
Visit ahrq.gov/consumer for a free checklist of screening tests for men 50 and older. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
There's more to winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our estate planning attorney, Wes Blanchard.
You know, once you pass away, it's not something that you can get a mulligan on. It has to be done ahead of time, and the results of it not being done ahead of time can be very, very drastic.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Fella a few years ago came in to talk to me. His grand plan was to take distributions from his retirement to fund his son's college education. And it was a spend down of his account. And then he came back in a year later after he had started doing so and wanted help. And I told him it was already too late for him, that he had better have a pretty good agreement with that son to take care of him later in life. You better have a pretty good agreement if you're going to go down that road, give out your money, and then expect the kids to take care of you. How are they taking care of you right now, you might wonder? I don't want to be a burden on somebody else, and most of the families I work with don't want to be a burden.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, welcome. Happy Saturday. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Thanks to my kids. My kids love Katy Perry. I have to listen to the music beds now because since it's the iHeartRadio Music Festival going on right now, if it's one of the artists, it's just professionally courteous for me to go ahead and point that out. Katy Perry's not playing this year. Yeah, she played in the past because I saw her when she was there. I think that was 2013 when I was there and I saw her. Something else I noticed about Katy Perry in person. Did you know that she is not ugly? Did you notice that? Wes Blanchard's in studio, state planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates. He'll be at our live event coming up October 3rd. And talk about your experience with the live event. You know, it's funny because for some of these people, it's like when you first meet that, you know, your first roommate or someone that you're going to be friends with for a decade to come. You go back and you think about, because like one of my best friends, this guy named Will, he happens to be a lawyer too. But I think about the first time I met him. It was me and Mrs. Parker when she was just my girlfriend. And we went to the wedding of one of her sorority sisters from college. And so I ended up hanging out with some of her friends and I'm hanging out with this Will guy. And now that we've been best friends and he was the best man at my wedding, it's fun to go back and think of that, right? Well, I've noticed how after we've had some of these clients that are around for years and years, they go back and they'll they'll recall to me. It's like, yeah, I remember when I first met you at Ruth's Chris that time, and like I didn't know who anybody was, and this whole thing was, I don't know, it kind of seemed weird at the time, but now it's the most normal thing in the world. Like, what's your experience been with these live events, the Gregory Ricks Live?
Yeah, I love them for that exact reason. You know, you meet folks, and they come in, they hear what Gregory has to say in his philosophy, and then they get, you know, a brief introduction into the Total Wealth Authority as well. We all introduce ourselves, and generally speaking, at some point, you know, when the presentation is ended and maybe they're between courses, you know, they might get up and they just have a quick question, and, you know, it's a short, quick interaction, but it's face-to-face. It's intimate enough for you guys to get an understanding of what that person's looking for and who they're talking to, and here's exactly, you know, what we're looking to accomplish. I enjoy it. I enjoy it because, you know, you think about it, you sit down, you have a great steak, and you get some of these questions answered, and you go home, and that was a great night. You know, you really got some great info, you had a great meal, and then, yeah, you seem pretty well inclined to continue that relationship if you guys are a good fit. So I've always enjoyed that. It's a great time to see the Total Wealth Authority. We don't always get to catch up with one another very often. So I think Dwayne and I certainly, and to a certain extent Jude as well, always sort of have a question for the other person at some point that's pertinent to our practice and what we're doing. Say, hey, I ran into this with a client. Can we talk about that? And we usually try to iron that out. So it's a very good time. It's a lot of important minds in that one room. And I think it's a great resource for the folks who do come to the events.
All right, October 3rd, 6:30 p.m. Ruth's Chris in Metairie, so it's fairly centrally located across our broadcast spectrums here. If you want to go to the event, you got to RSVP for it. You know, we're not sold out. There's a lot of times, especially during the winter. Summer kind of slows down, but when these things fill up, I think we still got plenty of seats for this one. So go ahead and RSVP now before it fills up. You're in a good spot. Call the office, 504-832-9200. If you can't remember that, it's on the website at gregoryricks.com. Or really, the great shortcut to everything we do is the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Ryan Napoleonville, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks, talking to Parker and Wes. How can we help you?
Yes, sir. I have a question about taxes and health care plans. About 2 years ago, we signed my wife up for a high-deductible health care plan through the state. She's a school teacher. So she contributes to an HSA, and the state also contributes to it. I also have her covered under my health care plan, which is not high-deductible plan. I heard Gregory talking a couple weeks ago that may not be legal. And my question is it legal, and how do I fix it if it's not?
Okay, so, yeah, I remember doing that. The HDHPs is the goofy acronym they like to use for it, high deductible health insurance plans. They won't let you have a HSA, Wes, if you don't have a lot of deductibles or if your deductibles are minuscule. You have to have over a certain threshold. I forgot what the number was. But since she's on two insurance plans, I don't know how that works out. We didn't cover that. Now, if she's only on yours and it's not a HDHP, then she can't be putting money in an HSA. However, I don't think they would be screwing that up. I don't think they would be making the contributions if they didn't know it was legal. So one of the things they ask when you're signing up for health insurance is, do you have insurance through anyone else? Now, if she answered that question wrong, you need to go fix that as soon as you can on Monday.
Okay.
If not, we're actually in a gray area that I don't think we've dealt with before. Wes, do you have anything to add to that?
No, that's interesting information. I think you probably have a little more on it than I do, to be honest.
Because I didn't think it was possible to be covered under two overlapping plans. Now, it's possible to have two plans. You can have a primary coverage and a secondary coverage, and because we deal with this all the time when you sign up for Medicare. You don't need both Part A and Part B if you're still working and covered by your employer's plan. That will be your primary, and Medicare. Did I say that right? Yeah, Medicare will be your secondary coverage. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a primary secondary thing going on here. So if your wife's insurance is a primary and yours is secondary, I think that HSA is going to be okay. I will tell you this: I'm not sure. But that would be the only way I think you're okay on this one, is if it's primary, secondary, and hers is primary.
It is that way. Hers is primary, mine is secondary. I've actually called Blue Cross, and they didn't really know the answer.
Yeah, I think you're going to be okay on this one, but Ryan, I'm just a guy who smarts off on the radio, and I've been observing financial brilliance for 7 years, so I don't know how much I would trust me, because I don't trust me, and if I was in your situation, I would get on the horn with Gregory's office. Well, he's going to be out on Monday, but there's still a staff there to take care of it. Nick will track it down for you. We don't talk about it much, but Gregory has some highly trained lieutenants, basically, that are all on the same board, and they're like ninjas studying under the master ninja, so they're not quite there yet. But I have a lot of faith in them that they could probably get it done. If not, then you know what? Gregory gets back in town on Friday, and we'll get it tackled then. But I think, I don't know, I think you're okay on this one. But boy, that HSA, if it's being matched, what a gift that is. Because if it doesn't work out, you're probably thinking the same thing. We'll just drop her off Orion's plan, and she'll go solo on her own, because you would much rather have that HSA match than not, right? That's free money.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, that's an interesting situation you're in, Ryan. It's not often we get stumped on the air, but in the absence of Gregory, there's only so much I can do. But I appreciate your call, bud.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. See, we get some of the tough ones sometimes.
Yeah.
And luckily, I'm in a position where it's okay if I admit I don't know. You know, what pressure must it be to be like the financial supercomputer and he has to have an answer for you? So, all right, something else we want to talk about, because you get the most calls on this every time you're on the show, is when we talk about succession issues.
Yeah, yeah, and I told you I wanted to bring that up for one particular reason. It's it sort of relates back to a client I was dealing with earlier this week, and she's an elder lady out in New Orleans, and what she was wanting to do was donate her home to her daughter. No big deal. She's getting a new house. She's moving in somewhere else. So I said, look, you know, send me the address. If you have a legal description, great. If not, I'll pull it. I'll do, you know, all of these things for you, and we'll make this thing happen relatively quickly. And as we got a little farther into sort of the Q&A session, you know, I said, okay, so dad's passed away here, right? Yes, okay. Do you have the judgment of possession? That probably has exactly what I'm looking for on it. And she said, well, we haven't done succession yet.
So, how long's dad been gone?
So dad had been gone, I want to say 7 years is what she told me. But the important point there is, okay, well, mom, you own your half, but, you know, if you haven't done succession, we didn't even get to the point, look, did he have a will, did he not have a will? It doesn't make a difference at this point, because we haven't even crossed that bridge of even opening the succession. But nonetheless, she only owns her half. So in order for her daughter to get full ownership of it and then, you know, use it as a homestead exemption and have just what exactly mom was looking to give her, full ownership in the real estate, we need to open that succession on dad, get it transferred into mom's name or whatever the will would say, or however it would go intestate, it would, you know, go to the daughter in naked ownership, and we could get all that sorted out. But the important idea is that's something that I don't think folks realize until they get close to the point of being at the signing table. So you're selling the home that mom and dad left you, and you never did a succession on it. Well, when they run that title search, it's going to come back that, hey, this is still in the name of mom and dad. And now you're looking at, you know, probably $6,000-$7,000 reduction in what you're looking to actually get from the house, because someone's got to pay an attorney to run that succession through and do it probably in a pretty expedited manner, so that you don't lose the sale. A lot of times these guys are on 30-day, 45-day windows to get that done.
It gets squirrely sometimes, doesn't it, Wes?
It does.
All right, that's Wes Blanchard. He's the guy we lean on for all our estate planning issues, top-notch attorney, member of the Total Wealth Authority. He'll be at our next live event October 3rd. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. I am James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Thank you for tuning in to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you need to contact the office, find our next live event, listen to the show live or on demand, remember the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, welcome to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks, iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. How you doing? Happy Saturday. I know, I'm kind of in a football mood, kind of also in a relaxing mood, but I got one more hour of show to do, and I got about an hour and a half's worth of stuff to do, so I'm going to kind of speed up. If you want to insert a question at any time, look, there's one, 504-260-0995, 504-260-0995. Thank you very much to Wes Blanchard for being our guest in the last hour, talking about filial law and succession and some other common issues having to do with estate planning. What is an investor supposed to do at a time like this? You know, in the last 2 weeks, we just had 7 record closes in the Dow. And what often happens here is the stock market reaches a new high, and then it'll keep going until some point, boom, downturn. And if you've been keeping up with the financial world, you know that we are overdue for a downturn. And I don't mean that little 8% drop that we had in 2011 or that little hiccup we had at the beginning of 2016. Remember, January stunk last year, and then it just popped right back. I mean, we're overdue for another 2008 event. We're overdue for another 2001 downturn. These markets don't go up forever. Hey, this time it's different. Is it? Is it? So what's an investor to do? We're at all-time highs. The old maxim that holds very true, just mathematically speaking, is you do best when you buy low and sell high. How do you convince anyone to get into the market or take their new 401k contributions and continue putting them into the market when you know a downturn's going to happen? Well, there is no yes or no right or wrong on this one because, yeah, a downturn's going to happen. But nobody really knows. If someone guesses and they get it right, it was luck. No one really knows. Because if someone really knew what the market's going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day, we would be looking at our first trillionaire. They would already have $1 trillion. But even Bill Gates, even Warren Buffett gets it wrong sometime. You know, for a large part of this run-up, Warren Buffett had a big pile in cash. Warren Buffett, if I'm not mistaken, I hope I'm not misremembering this, but usually I have notes in front of me and I'm reading things like this. No, but I think Warren Buffett right now is more than 50% in cash. He's out of the game. He's expecting the downturn to happen any day. There's some other guys that big old hedge funds that are putting big old shorts on the S&P as a whole. There's a lot of people that are betting a lot of money that this downturn is going to happen within the next year. But you know what? Those guys have been wrong before. Those guys may be wrong this time. You have people, there's perma bears, but there's also perma bulls, people that think the market's just going to go up. And yeah, there might be a downturn here or there, but what you need to do is you need to just get in and stay in. You need to stay the course. You need to get a nice, broad diversification of assets. And whatever happens, stop watching the news. Just ride it out, because when you turn around, do the hokey pokey, and you look in 40 years, you're going to have a big old pile of money. Well, that doesn't seem like the best way to go about it either, but there's a lot of successful guys who write books about that. I mean, I just read Tony Robbins' book earlier this year that was called Unshakable, and it was all about staying the course. No, get in the market. Get some broad index funds. You know, there's some ETFs that are low cost. They are low fees. They basically buy the entire S&P 500. And if you buy that, stay the course. Hey, even if you go through some downturns, if you went through the downturn of 2008, 2009, but you stayed the course, you're still way up over what you would have been had you been finagling it. You could have not be where you're at today. So what is an investor to do? When you go to realclearmarkets.com and one expert is saying the market's going to go up and the other one's saying the market's going to go down, and they're both experts. They both went to Ivy League schools. They're both millionaires. They both know what they're talking about. One of them's wrong. So what are you supposed to do? Well, number one, don't be ashamed to ask for advice. Don't be reluctant. Don't think it's some sort of admission of failure on your part. You know, because that's one of the character traits, masculine character traits. It's really a negative. Our reluctance to ask for help. You know, that wild-eyed independence, that pioneer spirit is good for the Oregon Trail. But it's not so good when your mom and dad were trying to go to some function when you were a kid and they got lost and your mom's saying, you need to ask for directions, and your dad's saying no. We need to grow up and we need to ask for expertise. We need to ask for help. Here's the news, though. You want me to ask Gregory Ricks? Yeah, you can ask Gregory Ricks. Gregory Ricks has a plan for both, though. That's what your financial advisor needs to do. And look, I know everyone can't have Gregory as the financial advisor. And if you can't have us, we understand. Sometimes the philosophies don't match up. Sometimes you already know a guy who's pretty dang good and, you know, hey, you want to stick with him, you're probably going to be fine. We would just like to steer you in the right direction. He better have a plan, though, for both. He better know what he's going to do tomorrow if he wakes up and the market's up 10%, or if tomorrow he wakes up and the markets are down 10%. He better not be trying to figure out and run some numbers after that happens and then see what to do. Because the way we run our ship over here is, all right, what'd the market do? Okay, Iran got a nuke. Okay, we'll execute the plan. Yeah. Oh, no. Okay, so the Dow just crashed 20% in the last month. Well, execute the plan. Execute, what is that, Order 66? Or what was it? What was one where they're supposed to kill all the Jedis? Rule 66, Order 66? Something to that effect. Oh, get out of here. Then what good are you? Then Google it. Because now it's going to bother me. And just tell me in my ear. I don't think the people on over the air have to know. That's just me being neurotic for a little bit. But really, just get help is number one. You know, which one was it? Order 66. I knew I was off. Thank you. Goodness gracious. Driving myself nuts. But it's also a good idea just to understand what financial planning is. What is financial planning? What am I setting up here? What am I shopping for? Well, this was something that we discussed about a week and a half ago. What is financial planning? Angie, what is financial planning? No, I want you to play the clip that I gave you before the show that says, what is financial planning? Don't lean into your mic like you're going to ask me a question.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Do you understand the definition of financial planning? It's about where are you on that path? Are you going to arrive at the financial destination you wish to arrive at? What does that destination look like in your mind? And are you on that path? So it's about accumulating wealth and using that wealth to support your continued lifestyle into retirement at some point. Doesn't mean you quit jobs, but retirement I look at as options, giving you something else to do. In a lot of cases, people are retiring from one job, moving on to another and supplementing income, but they're doing something they enjoy. So what we try to do is help you find out where are you on that path and where is it taking you and what adjustments do you need to make. And we're always continuing to look down that financial road that you're headed. It's just the way I look at driving. I'm always looking ahead of where I have to go. I kind of have part of my eye on that bumper in front of me out there a little bit, but I'm kind of looking a good ways down the road. So you're kind of keeping on your money now and looking well down the road and where it's going. And driving, that keeps you out of a lot of trouble. With your money, it does the same thing. It keeps you out of financial trouble and actually works towards keeping you in good shape. So when you start thinking about what you're wanting for income, you're thinking about, what do I need? You know, and that's one of the questions I start with, because one of the things I'm going to find out is, how much are you making now? Then, depending on where I'm going to know about your assets, so I already kind of have an idea because I know the math, and I might ask, are we trying to replace income? Because one of the things I'm going to do is ask you first, you know, what do you think you're going to need a month to continue your lifestyle? So they'll give me a hint right there whether they're shooting for replacement of income. And if they're not sure, I said, well, I kind of need a number. What is it you need or want? So we do give them a little couple of documents to complete, and it kind of asked that, what do you need or what do you want? I don't have to necessarily say income replacement, but isn't that what we would strive for? So we're not taking a step down in lifestyle. We're not cutting back our lifestyle. We'd like to have income replacement. So then it comes down to, what do you want? Or are we about need? Why do we shift from want to need? Well, you don't have enough assets to produce the want. And then it comes to, I'm not really sure. Some people will just pull a number, pull their hat off their head, reach in, move around, pull a number out.
Yeah, 800,000. That sounds good.
And then sometimes later they'll tell me that, because when we start getting into the numbers of are they short, where are they on the path, I said, well, that's probably something we need to look at, a little number. I just pull that number out of the air. I've reached up and they grabbed the number and pulled it down and taken a look at that. And some situations where one I've talked about is a couple where, they're $900 a month short. So part of their work was to go do some homework. So how do we figure out what we need? Well, what are you spending now? Because I don't think it's going to be a whole lot different. Because if it is, then you're cutting back. You're wanting $5,000 a month, and your income with Social Security, and if there's a pension, and let's say it's supporting $3,500 a month net, you're in big trouble there, because you're probably needing five gross to get there. So one thing I'll tell them, suggest that they do, is you need to do a little bit of homework. You need to go look at your outflow from your checking account the past 6 months. Now, sometimes people will pay their bills on a quarterly basis, or, I pay my insurance once a year on the house. Well, go back a year and average it out to see what you're needing to pay there. And then you have a handle, because now that tells me the net number. So now we have to go back, look at your overall income need, where does that fit in tax brackets, and get to a gross number. So then we're going to go look at your Social Security, but also your age. You may not be eligible for Social Security. So we've got to look at your age. When are you turning on? When do you think retirement might be for you? And then when is it for your wife? When are we probably turning on Social Security? Is there a pension? You doing the lump sum or taking the income? And then income from assets. When are we turning those on? So that kind of gives you a basis of, what's my income capability? What are my sources of income? We've talked about three, maybe four there. Is there rental income? Could be a fifth. And so we're talking about sources of income, and what are the assets capable of generating? Can we leave them alone for larger income, or are we laddering? And then how does that play out with your age, and what is it you're needing to pay the bills, or do you have room for your want? I want to travel. I want to go here. I want to do that. So that's where you've got to have some fundamental understanding and then see where this takes you. I always like to look out 15 years at all times. It's like looking down the highway. And then we want to possibly kind of glance way further out.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Look, you're out there thinking about, this market, I've got to find some safe ways. Avoid the variable for that reason, because it is not a risk-averse tool. But if you're considering it, I suggest you get a second opinion. And we darn sure wouldn't have had a long surrender period.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. Gregory Ricks here. I'm a preferred access member. I get to take my own car to the track. Yeah, it might be a fast one, but it gets to go there. Talk about going to another world and escape. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
We think we're going to get about $80,000 from the sale of the house. I wanted to know what your advice is on where to invest that money.
Do you plan on buying a home again in the future?
So maybe 5 to 10 years?
I would probably keep it away from risk. And if I was to attach it to risk, I'm probably splitting the money, keeping 40 in savings. And then the other 40 you could put to work, but I really think it needs to be conservative. And remember, rule number 3 of my 3 rules, return of your money is more important than the return on your money. So make sure you have an exit with whatever you do.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
The number one thing retirees worry about is running out of money. Money can be the most stressful part of your life, but it doesn't have to be. James Parker here. Gregory Ricks has been helping people just like you with their money problems for decades. And it starts with Gregory Ricks Live, Tuesday, October 3rd, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or call 504-832-9200.
Our sold-out 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival, hosted by Ryan Seacrest.
iHeartRadio.
2 nights, 1 stage.
Let's go!
This weekend at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas.
Watch it live on CWTV.com or the CW app at 9 p.m. tonight.
Capital One is the proud marquee partner of the iHeartRadio Music Festival. For more information on Capital One products and services, please visit CapitalOne.com today.
Don't learn this anywhere else. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
I think I just made a huge mistake. All right, look, it's the third hour of the show, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Gregory's partying his head off in Vegas right now at our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival. But look, third hour of the show, something's a little different about this job than many other jobs. And the fact that when I'm doing this, I can't be interested in anything else. I can't be doing anything else. In fact, I've gotten 2 phone calls since the show started. And you can't answer a phone call. You just have to decline it. And then at 1:05, they both get a call back and go, "Hey, jerk, you know I'm on the radio." I mean, these are people who know me, so it's kind of annoying. So you have to be totally engaged when you're on the radio. You can't just kind of slough off and be half paying attention like you are at the department head meetings, you know, the other things I do with this job. You can just be on your phone messing around. No, you can't be doing that. So on the breaks, especially when it gets into the last hour of the show, things have happened in the world that I'm not even haven't even been exposed to yet. And because this is live radio and breaking news is always great content. If there's some available, I like to check in the last hour. Just go through your Twitter feed or go through some headlines or just make sure there's nothing big. There hadn't been a terrorist attack in the last 2.5 hours or something that I missed, because then I would sound like an idiot if I'm not talking about it. My mistake, I went to Twitter. Twitter is going insane. It's like you just dropped a bunch of blood into a tank full of piranhas and they're all just doing this little feeding frenzy snapping thing and jumping out the water. And it looks like right now Donald Trump, I guess it was overnight, maybe this morning, but before the show started, he had disinvited Steph Curry from visiting the White House. Now LeBron called him a bum and said it used to be an honor visiting the White House till you got there. And all here it goes. Now it's like the battle scene from Braveheart, where you have LeBron James, the greatest basketball player alive, openly insulting the president. And I don't care what side you're on. This is an enjoyable argument here. Both sides are having so much fun with this, but it's nasty. When did everybody get so mean to each other? And I'm not going to sit here and say, well, the country's never been this divided. Because you sound like a jerk when you say that, considering we had a civil war where 600,000 people died. We were a little more divided then. We can all agree with that, right? All right, so the country has been more divided than this before, but boy, we didn't have Twitter in the Civil War. I wonder what that would have looked like. Anyway, sometimes I'm glad I do this show where I don't have to deal with any of that. Because if I did, then half of y'all would love me and half of y'all would hate me. That's fun watching, though. Watching your president insult Just think about it. What if Bill Clinton and Michael Jordan in the mid-90s had gotten into an online argument? I mean, we had online back then, but we didn't have Twitter. Wouldn't that be the greatest thing ever? That would be sweet. That being said, Michael Jordan's still greatest all time. Hey, guess what state has the highest poverty rate in the country? I know, you're going to guess Louisiana or Mississippi or maybe Alabama or Arkansas or something like that. No, look, let's not take the nominal rate. Let's factor in important things like cost of living, taxes, not just your income, but how far you can get with that income. Because $100,000 in Mississippi, you're doing all right. $100,000 in California, you can't even buy a house.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
According to the Supplemental Poverty Measure, this comes from the United States Census Bureau. This didn't come from Sean Hannity or Alex Jones or Fox News.
Rush didn't put it out there either?
No. The states.
Hillary didn't?
No.
We're an equal GOP, Democratic.
This is supposed to be a faceless, nameless, sterile observation of the numbers.
Okay.
If you factor in cost of living and you factor in everything else, taxes and the welfare benefits and government assistance and all that, the state with the highest poverty rate, you even want to guess?
Yeah. It's either Mississippi or Louisiana or Arkansas, one of the three.
California.
You mean it's Texas?
California.
California.
It's California.
Really?
That's why this is a crazy measure.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Now, if you took the nation as a whole. And
which Hillary has been claiming that the Electoral College should be abolished because they didn't really let California in. But now you're telling me they have the ugliest numbers and they shouldn't be let in.
Yeah. So. The fun part about this is if you didn't factor in cost of living and you took the poverty rate and saw what percentage of their citizens live there, California's still 16th.
Wow.
But
hate it for them.
You can get a decent house somewhere in Mississippi for $100,000. It's going to be a little harder in California. You're a renter.
It's like impossible in California, but Louisiana, Georgia, Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee. You can get you an okay house for 100K.
All right. If you looked at the supplemental poverty measure, not just the regular poverty stat that counts in the whole nation, but the state-by-state one, supplemental poverty measure, California's the worst. 20.6% of their citizens live under the poverty line. Now, there is one jurisdiction that has a higher poverty rate than that, District of Columbia. Not a state, but they're at 22.
They're a mess.
0.2.
Yeah.
It's the only.
Who could be? What is it? Trump calls it that he's trying to
the swamp, draining the swamp.
Yeah, how could you live next to the swamp and like have great numbers? How would that work?
The number is something like 7 of the 10 richest counties in America are in the D.C. metro area. If you're not one of the rich people, you're one of the poor people, 22.2%.
I would bet if you have a little bit of money, you could do good in North Dakota. You know, think about that. You got to put up with some snow, but really?
I'm not moving to North Dakota.
Me neither. It's like I'd rather have humidity than freeze my hiney off.
Okay, so California, 20.6% under the supplemental poverty measure. Louisiana, 17.9%. So that's a good little drop off there. And then Mississippi, 17%. They're right in the middle of the pack. Mississippi is in the middle. See,
there you go.
And it's one of these
our
things,
neighbors.
Right. And if you talk about standard of living or poverty, you know, Mississippi's still a pretty good deal. Louisiana, pretty good deal. Texas is down in the 14s. But something else I found here, because when they go through all the taxes and whatnot, California pays their teachers more than any other state, and right above Louisiana and Mississippi, at the bottom of the barrel, is California. They're 48th in math, 49th in reading. They were 49th in reading 2 years ago.
But look, we drive around this state. We drive around Mississippi. Have you, like, said, oh, there's no way I would live here? Have you ever felt that?
I
hadn't.
I'm talking about in every state, there's a neighborhood
I'm kind of like, yeah, there's some neighborhoods, but when you're generalizing, can you find a place like, yeah, This would be pretty cool. Look, we did some extensive traveling in Mississippi recently, and all I saw was cool places to live and to hang out.
Well, it's not fair to ask me. I'm from Tyler, Texas. It's more humble.
So everything's like, oh, my God, this is so good compared to Tyler.
Yeah, it's like y'all have electricity.
You shouldn't say that.
Flushing toilets, Gregory.
You have more than one red light. Yeah,
it's amazing what they have over there. Yeah, that was one of the comebacks I had to Mississippi. You know, you don't think you're better than me. I said, think you're better than you. I come from a place smaller than this. You kidding? I told you the
but
story.
What I'm asking you is what you're not what you grew up with, what you're accustomed to now since you found out there's life outside of Tyler.
Yeah, I'd live in Mississippi.
Okay.
The only places I really don't want to live is where it snows.
Or where hurricanes hit, like Florida Keys, St. Thomas, St. John, and
I live in New Orleans.
Puerto Rico, New Orleans. Once in a great while, I guess.
So, hey, well done, California. They will not bring this up, but the supplemental poverty measure has California at the worst. And there's so many things that they're so bad at, Gregory. They have the highest state corporate, or one of the eight highest corporate income tax in the country at the state level. They have a state corporate
income tax.
You
mentioned their pension system?
It's second only to Illinois.
It's a mess.
Illinois has the worst pension system. California's the second worst. They have the highest sales tax rate. They are tied with New York for the highest gasoline tax in the state. They have the most expensive traffic tickets in the nation.
I was speaking with somebody today because, you know, I'm heading out to wine country here in a little while for a few days. And I kind of love wine country. And I said, you know, I told her, I said, actually, I would love to live in wine country except for one thing. It's in California.
Oh.
So, yeah, that tells you right there. That's the negative to wine country. Otherwise, it's awesome.
So here
you could have vineyards in your front yard.
You get taxed a day.
And back. But it's in California.
Do you know California is the only state that has a minimum corporate tax? If you are incorporated in California, at the bare minimum, you have to pay $800 no matter what. If you didn't do any business that year, if you lost money, yes, $800 is your minimum.
That ain't right. That ain't right.
Last 8 years, it has been ranked by a survey of business executives as the worst state to do business.
GE has to pay tax in California.
Is that where they're incorporated? They're probably incorporated.
I don't
in Delaware.
Know, but they always lose money. That's why they have the most tax attorneys on staff of anybody. They don't pay taxes except in California.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
In a Social Security disability appeal, do you have to disclose your financials?
It's going to be about your health. Whether or not you can actually work really doesn't come down to the money. It comes down to whether or not you're disabled. Now, from that standpoint, if we would probably have to speak to maybe Wes, where he's been involved in that, to find out more. But I've never heard of anybody ever having this going, yeah, I was declined because I'm making too much money. Well, how are you making money or financials? If you're disabled, you're not working.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Go save some money. How much do I save? As much as you possibly can. It's going to be horrible when the retirement button gets punched and that big income's given up. Best deal is is to start saving early.
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
We've got a map of callers, where they call from around the country, and it's really surprising how the audience and this show has grown. Thank you to all of you that are listening through the radio in your car or at home or on the stream through the iHeartRadio app.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
Yeah, the boys round here drinking that ice cold beer, talking about girls. Talking
your
about
wallet's girls, favorite show, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, welcome. I'm James Parker, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. You know, if you hear this on the iHeartRadio app, not on a stream, but just in one of your own channels, they play the version that has the bad words in it. Because there's another version. I didn't even know there was another version, but, you know, when you make your own stations, you know, you do the thumbs up, thumbs down on iHeartRadio. Right here where he said, just take no lip, he said a different word, and it wasn't very nice. Blake, you potty mouth. Shame, shame. Am I going to have to wash your mouth out with Dial? The soap, not the, yeah. Hey, financial situations, bring them on. 504-260-0995. If you're worried about what's going on in the financial world, whether it's the tax reform, whether it's the health care reform, whether it's something that's spewing out of D.C., and they have these projections that are stuck on them, don't worry. Whatever it is, the projections are wrong. The CBO is basically the least accurate thing that gets taken seriously on a daily basis. And you're like, well, James, this is taking it kind of far. Well, I don't know. Is it taking it kind of far? You want to talk about some of the other things that, you know, this is just a quick history of government predictions. All right. In January 2007, the CBO issued its annual budget and economic outlook. One of those, you know how they do the 10 years out that they're required to do? What a dumb law that is. Like, anyone right now has any idea what the budget's going to look like 9 years out? Like, we have any control? Like, the same people are going to be in power? We're going to be dealing with the same issues? Like that, it's even possible to make an accurate prediction 9 years out with the way the system's run. But they do it. They do 10-year projections. Let me show you what a ridiculous exercise this is. They estimated that in 2017, the debt held by the public would be $4.2 trillion. All right, that's about 26% of GDP. A little higher than we'd like to have it, but nothing catastrophic. And they're really focused on debt held by the public. This isn't even the total national debt, though. This is just the part that's held by the public. So how much is it actually today, now that we're actually in 2017 and we can go back and we can fact check what they said we would be in 10 years ago? $14.35 trillion of our debt. So about three quarters of our debt is held by the public. So how far were they off? They were off by a factor of three. That means they were 300% off. They weren't 15% off or 5% off. They were 300% off, 300% too small. Or if you want to put it off in trillions, they said it'd be $4.2 trillion and it's $14.35 trillion. They were off by $10 trillion. How do you get it wrong by $10 trillion over the span of a decade? That means they were, on average, they were off by $1 trillion a year, a trillion. You know what a trillion is? A trillion is a million millions. That's how far they were off every single year on average. What is the point of having a CBO? And so now what is the CBO score usually used for in modern contextual times? Because now we have PAYGO rules where you're not allowed to pass a new law or have some new spending or a tax cut unless it's quote-unquote paid for over 10 years. So you find out if we should have this law or if this law can be voted on by 50 or 60 senators is the difference, whether you can use a reconciliation process based on math that gets it wrong by $10 trillion. What is the point? Oh, I hate those pay-as-you-go rules because the pay-go rules, they were supposed to prevent us from increasing the deficit. What they do now is they prevent us from reducing the deficit. It's the weirdest thing how many times a government program or a government policy is put in place to deal with one problem and it actually does the exact opposite. My favorite example, well, I have two of them really. My favorite example is the Department of Housing and Urban Development. You know, since that program was started about 50 years ago, almost 60 years ago now, they have torn down more housing units than they've built. Is that just not mine? Why does this thing still exist? Why don't we have the president or some senators or some House of Representatives or even some governors going out and saying, hey, we should just end the Department of Housing and Urban Development. They've made housing worse. They were supposed to make it better. They made it worse. We tried. It failed. We need to stop spending tens of billions of dollars on it every year. No one's saying that. Department of Education is my second favorite one. That was one of Jimmy Carter's ideas, and on paper it makes sense. Hey, let's spend some federal money into the education system, and with some more resources, of course, scores will go up. Well, scores have gone down, and if you want to put on the same chart the amount of spending we put on the Department of Education, it is inversely proportional to our test scores based across international rankings. It's just the more we spend, the lower we go. Why don't we end that? But that's what we're dealing with here. These government predictions, like when they would said, well, you know, Obamacare, like your doctor, you can keep it, or the average cost of your premium is going to go down $2,500 a year. Anyone experiencing that? Is your premium $2,500 a year less than it was before? No, me neither. So why is it still there? Just something to keep in mind when they talk about these predictions. So how does that work on a financial show? Well, for number one, we are desperately trying to keep an eye on how they are going to affect your pocketbook. Because, look, when they talk about healthcare reform, it's an economics bill. It doesn't talk about doctors and syringes. There's nothing about a Bunsen burner or anything scientific in there. It's all about accountants, and it's an economics bill. This is going to affect your money. This has already affected your money. It affects my money. Look, I'm having a hard time right now paying the bills. And I have about a break-even point that I've had to reduce some of my expenditures, and I am living month to month. I've actually had to stop contributing to my 401k. I have no retirement savings going out every month. I'm like, well, Parker, how'd you get set up in a situation like that? Sounds like you need to reduce your lifestyle. Sounds like you overbought your house, or maybe you need to move to a less affluent neighborhood, or you know, maybe your spending's out of control. Maybe there's something wrong with you. No, actually, when I bought my house 5 years ago in the neighborhood that I'm in, my health care bill for the family was a little over $300. Now, granted, we've had a couple kids since then, but what do I pay now for me, Miss Parker, and the four little Parkerlings? $1,700 a month. That's where all my problems come from financially. That one bill. My house note's about the same as it was then. Of course, it's gone up a little bit because taxes have gone up. You know, hey, you got to keep streets of New Orleans looking great like they are now, huh, guys? But look, I expected that. That was factored in. I left myself a little leeway in my monthly budget. I didn't leave enough leeway for $1,700 a month. And what does that get? Well, at least you don't have any more medical bills. Oh, I wish. That's something else that's killing me. Because I had a dental issue this year. Miss Parker had some braces put on back in January because she was having some issues in adulthood that necessitated it. That stuff's not covered. Every time our kids go to the pediatrician, not covered. We got a big old copay on that stuff. It never ends, y'all. So why do we look at these predictions? Why do we look at some of this political stuff? It's not fun, but it affects your money. What's next? Tax reform. As soon as they finish messing up this health care reform, because I think it's going to die anyway. I think McCain basically said he's going to kill it yesterday. Him and my buddy Rand Paul for complete opposite reasons. John McCain doesn't think it's socialized enough. Ron Paul doesn't think it's free market enough. So that's not going to happen. So what are they going to pivot to? Tax reform. Now, remember, they're going to score these tax reforms and say, well, we can't cut your taxes by this much because 10 years out, the deficit will look like something that's going to be wrong. Remember, they said in 2007, debt held by the public would be $4.2 trillion. It's $14.35 trillion when we actually get to 2017. They're off by $10 trillion. They're going to be wrong in their predictions about 10 years out when they're talking about this tax reform scoring. But they're still going to use that as an excuse to not cut your taxes, to not cut my taxes, to not cut corporate income taxes. And when we talk about corporate income taxes, we're not talking about GE. We're not talking about GM. We're not talking about Boeing. We're talking about Parker. I have a corporation. We're talking about Gregory Ricks. We're probably talking about the plumber that came to your house. We're talking about every single small businessman over here who's actually gone through the basic legal first step in incorporating. This is something we'll keep an eye on. This isn't the fun part of our job, but we're watching your wallet. We got your back while you're out working and being productive. Stay tuned. If you have any questions, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Everybody's mindset is to be a millionaire at retirement because of inflation and lost buying power. Remember in 1974, a Big Mac cost 75 cents. Is that some inflation or what?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
The National Council on Aging is the nation's lead of helping people 60 years and older meet the challenges of aging. They partner with nonprofit organizations, government, and businesses to provide services such as utility bill assistance, wellness and nutrition options, and many other everyday tasks that get more difficult with age. For more information on the National Council on Aging, call or visit your local branch. The Jefferson Council on Aging, 6620 Riverside Drive, Suite 216, Metairie, Louisiana, 504-888-5880.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. It's the ultimate getaway for me because it's hard to worry about business, radio, stress when I'm going 135 miles an hour in a straightaway, and then I have to slow down to about 60 in a few seconds to make that right-hand turn. Oh, the adrenaline. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our CPA, Jude Heath.
Well, tax season is what it is. Some folks come in and the tax year is already planned. On a going forward basis, there was some legislation that was put in that some of it can affect some of the listeners.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
I think of all IRAs as self-directed. It's your money. You're in charge. You could hire somebody to help you with it, like you could hire our firm or another, or you could just do an E-Trade account or something like that and self-direct it in a way that you're the one making the decisions on what to buy. But a lot of times when people are mentioning the self-directed, what are they doing? They're going to use a third-party administrator and I want to buy a house and rent it, or I want to buy vending machines or some other idea. But what you're also possibly doing is getting yourself in a world of hurt that if you make this go bad and make a mistake, Uncle Sam still comes back for his money.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
And I don't know why it all takes me downtown like you got anywhere.
eye on your money and update you daily. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. How we went around, I don't know why it don't take me downtown
anymore. Hey, anymore. Hey, happy Saturday. It's our Saturday ritual. I do the show, you listen to it. Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Gregory Ricks is partying his face off at our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival in Vegas. You know, you can listen to it live tonight on the app. I probably won't, just out of petty, jealous, immature spite, because I wish I was there so bad. I've been before, and it is an incredible party. And it's one of these things where, like, makes me feel like I'm a long way from the farm. Angie, you didn't grow up on a farm. Did you grow up on a farm? Not Angie, dude, listening. Because it sounds like these colloquial phrases that I'm making, but a lot of times they're really true, and it's like a own little joke to myself, because when people say, were you raised in a barn? I say, well, we had a house too. And they laugh, but it's true. I spent a ridiculous amount of my childhood hanging out in a barn. I really did. And the other one, when people, you know, question whether or not you know what's going on, you're like, dude, I didn't just fall off the turnip truck yesterday. That was years ago. Well, I have actually fallen off agricultural vehicles. Many. Most of the time it was a hay trailer, but you get the point. So the 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival makes me think about when I was lucky enough to be magically whisked away to Vegas, and I was like, oh, really? You put me up in a hotel? Oh, we're going to go to this big old party over here? Oh, there's the Daytime Village. Oh, look, here's some artists. Oh, look, there's Justin Timberlake. Oh, look, there's a Beatle. There's Paul McCartney playing piano. There's Elton John. What? How is little old me able to be in such an opulent, awesome place like this? I'm a long way from the farm. That's an escape. That's a getaway. You want to have just a weekend where you can detach and turn all that off? Boy, that'll do it. Hey, we have our next live event coming up Tuesday, October 3rd, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. This is for people, shall I? Should I? Angie? Does he want to? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. All right. Hang just a second. Tuesday, October 3rd, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie, centrally located. This is primarily for people who need a financial advisor or want a second look at a second financial advisor. Maybe you already have one. But you just really, it's just if you need some help with your money. So there's a couple things we're going to cover. We're not going to talk about products. We're not going to try and sell you anything. But you need to learn two things about us before you make the decision on whether or not we should be your financial advisor. You need to know our investing philosophy and our income philosophy. They're you know, two sides of the same coin here, but in many ways they're exactly opposite. Like, you need to know rules about how to invest. You need to have a philosophical backing on why you invest and where to put it and how you react to outside stimuli from the economic world. And then the same thing, you need to have some rules and a philosophy on how to extract that money. Are you going to spend it down? Are you going to set it up to where you have checks for life and you never run out of money? So that's kind of what we're going to cover. And if you know, our river is flowing the same way as yours, well, then jump in. If not, go find another guy. Look, there's other people out there. Some people love taking the risk. Some people love getting into an illiquid REIT because, hey, it worked for this time, and maybe that guy just doesn't know what to do, but I know how to do it. If that's what you're looking for, you know, maybe not. Maybe it's not us. But you won't know unless you come. Reserve your seat, 504. This is the office number, 504-832-9200. You can call that right now. The phone will be answered. They'll take a message and we'll get you RSVP'd in toto on Monday. You can RSVP at GregoryRicks.com or the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. There's a little RSVP option there. All right, now to the phones we go. Dwayne Slidell, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. When I saw Dwayne, I thought it was Stein. I was like, why is he calling? No. This is Dwayne from Slidell. How can I help you, sir?
It's just Wayne with a W, no D.
Okay, so let's, Angie, you're fired. Wayne, how can I help you?
My question is, my wife's father recently passed away. We're both retired. We have plenty of income. and which I'm very appreciative of, but I'm very thankful for. But she's going to receive some money, and I want to, we're going to pay the small mortgage we've got off and liquidate whatever debt's left, and then there'll be money that needs to be put somewhere. Now, how do I put it somewhere where it doesn't lose its identity? And what I mean is, if I put it in our checking account and then I take it from there and go put it in a in her Roth IRA account, it kind of loses its identity of what kind of money it is. Where I just don't want there to be any questions about should it be taxable.
Oh, well, you already got it tax free.
Right.
I mean, a Roth, you could use it to fund a Roth, but you already said you got income.
Yes.
And that really depends on your age. How old are you, Wayne?
I'm 66. She's 62.
Yeah, you may not want to do Roth this late. It has to be vested for 5 years before you can touch it without penalty. And
okay.
Yeah, and really the magic of that is the compounding interest. And it comes out tax free, doesn't even show up on the 1040, but unless you're not going to touch it, you know, for another 10 years or so, we may steer you away from
that. What I'm really kind of looking for is, as long as I'm alive, she won't touch it probably, but if I die, then a good part of the income goes. There'll still be enough income to live, but I want her to be I need it to be somewhere where she could access it if she needed to at that point.
Both of y'all are still working, but you said you're 60.
No, no, not working.
You have income, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're not working. I've got we have a substantial income. We're fine with income.
But you're not working?
No.
Okay,
no,
okay. All right, well, we can still deal with that. It sounds like without going through a bunch of question and answer session, the tenor
sure.
of your call sounds like you're not going to touch it anytime soon, and
right.
you are 100% against losing a dime of this.
Yes.
Okay. So
I've already done that. I've already invested and done it myself, and you generally lose in the long run.
Heck yeah. All right, Wayne. It's too bad you had to learn the hard way. So this is sort of whittling it down. You either want to put it in like some sort of stable value money market fund where it's going to get maybe 1% on a good year, but it'll never go down. Or if you know you're not going to touch it and you don't need it to be liquid at all times, you would think about a fixed product is what you're describing to me. So like a fixed annuity or maybe a fixed indexed annuity so you can get a little more of the gains. But even if the market tanks, you don't lose a dime. That's what it sounds like you're describing to me what you want. You just need to know the names for it, because it already sounds like you got a plan for this money, right?
Well, not exactly.
Well, no. Listen, it being in the background as a setup plan, as setup money for when you're gone.
Yeah.
No, that counts as a plan. That doesn't mean you necessarily have to actively do anything with it in the meantime. But look,
okay.
Gregory's real specific about giving each chunk of money a job. And then once you give it a job, then we know what to do with it. And you've already done half the work. You know, you don't want any downside. You know, you don't want to touch it. My only question here is, how liquid do you need it? Because if you want her to be able to access it the second you die, well, then if you put it in a fixed annuity with a 5-year surrender period and you go get hit by a bus tomorrow, that
right.
does not serve your goal.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
So, I mean, maybe if you have a big chunk, you could really vest a life insurance policy. That's considered a fixed product as well, because the way it's regulated, it's matched dollar for dollar. It'll never go south. We're not going to get a variable life. We'll get something that doesn't go negative. So there's a few options, but the way you described it to me, you've done all the work. Gregory will just run it through a spreadsheet and figure out, well, do you want to do this money market? Do you want to do a fixed annuity over here? Because there are fixed annuities that either have no surrender period or they're really small, and the chances of you croaking in the next 5 years make it an acceptable risk, you know? So
yeah,
that's where I'm thinking with that. Now, if you're going to go further, I've seen Gregory do the process. He's going to ask you a bunch of questions. He's going to have to find out about your kids. He's going to have to find out about like your health situation. Either one of you, you know, if you have a mortal illness, that's something we need to know about. But from the general tenor of what you're calling here, you're asking for something simple, money market, maybe something in the bond world. But I would lean toward fixed products, either a life insurance or a fixed annuity of some sort.
Yeah, I'd never considered either one of those because but that may make more sense.
Yeah.
I think I do need to come in and see him.
Yeah. You know, step one would be the live event that we have going down October 3rd. That's not this Tuesday, but next. But if you've been listening to the show for a while and you think you have a pretty good handle on Gregory's philosophical leanings and you know pretty well that that matches up with yours, you can skip that and just come in the office for, we just call it the first visit.
Okay.
All right. Well,
I think that might work.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get the office number at GregoryRicks.com. You can just thumb your way to the phone call through the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or the number is 504-832-9200.
By mistake just a few minutes ago, so I got it.
Okay. Well, fantastic, Wayne. I appreciate your call. Have a good rest of your weekend, and congrats on coming into that money. Angie? Oh, good, good. All right. Well, Wayne's already there. All right, that's going to just about do it for the show today. I'm going to go torture myself by watching football the rest of the weekend and hope the rest of the season gets better off than the start to the season, right? Fingers crossed, say an extra prayer to the football gods. In the meantime, you can catch all our shows on the podcast with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app or on the iHeartRadio app. We'll be back to do this Monday at 7. We do this every weekday from 7 to 8, every Saturday from 10 to 1. It has been an honor to be a part of your Saturday. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Have a good one.
With Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.
Thank you for tuning in to Winning.